Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, August 31st. Kathy is out. I shall be handling the news duties. We'll begin with this. Temple University is suspending in-person classes for 2 weeks amid COVID-19 outbreak. The announcement was made yesterday in a letter to the university community, citing the increase as a possible result of small social gatherings happening off campus. According to the university, they said in a statement, "We are instituting a 2-week pause for in-person classes and an extensive collaboration with PDPH to test and contact trace students' cases and minimize further spread," the university said, after officials had reported nearly 60 active COVID-19 cases within the school community on Friday. The university says further tests revealed that there are now a total of 103 active cases. Students taking in-person classes will go online starting today and will continue until September 11th. Classes that are already online will not be impacted by this decision. Only classes designated by the dean of a school or college as essential will continue in-person learning. Those students who qualify will be notified directly. The university said an assessment of the situation will be made during this period to determine the best course moving forward. And we are hopeful, of course, that we will be able to return to the full hybrid program in place at the start of the semester. But any such decision will be driven by the data and public health guidance available at the time. Working with the health department, Temple plans to test 400 students today, and they will be testing those who feel ill and those who have been in contact with someone who has tested positive. Police said two children, ages 7 and 10, were killed in a car crash overnight yesterday. It was in the Philadelphia's Juniata neighborhood. It happened just before 1 a.m. on Huntington Park Avenue near Kensington Avenue. Officials said a family was driving east on Hunting Park Avenue when two men in a BMW crashed into them at Kensington Avenue. The impact of the crash sent the family's Toyota Corolla careening off the street, and two boys were thrown from the car. God. Yeah.
Apparently, this is an area where people get to really high speeds.
Yeah. Some of the neighbors were commenting on the fact that it happens all the time. Neighbor surveillance camera captured the scene as medics arrived at the scene and transported members of the family to the hospital. Police said the father suffered facial lacerations in the crash. Officials said he refused treatment at the scene to accompany his children to the hospital. The boys were taken to St. Christopher's Hospital, where they were pronounced dead. The mother was taken to Albert Einstein Medical Center. She's in a stable condition. Officials said that she fractured her spine in the crash. Late Sunday morning, neighbors could be seen placing candles and hanging teddy bears at the scene. Residents said that they want the city to put up speed bumps and red light cameras. Police said the driver of the striking car had made a U-turn and attempted to drive off, but stopped the car about 50 feet away, then jumped out along with the passenger and ran off. Investigators said the pair was caught about a mile away, and the driver was charged with multiple charges, including murder, homicide by vehicle, driving without a license, tampering with evidence, and obstruction of justice. A man was stabbed in the eye while waiting for a train on a SEPTA platform late Sunday. It happened just before midnight on the platform at Broad Street and Girard Avenue in North Philadelphia. Police said the 25-year-old was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Suspect reportedly ran away from the scene following the incident. Both SEPTA and Philadelphia police are investigating. There's no word on what might have prompted the incident at this time. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. And we need a lighter story to end with, so we're going to go with this. Two police officers in Delaware County are being hailed as heroes for helping out. They immediately utilized their training when they answered a call and found a woman in the throes of having a baby. One of the officers was brand new to the force, thanks to Morton Police Officer Joseph Laspina and his partner, Officer Ian Kelly. Mitura Akani is a new, healthy little girl. But 4 days ago, she arrived much earlier than expected. It was from the help of these two officers who had to deliver her. The call came in around 10 p.m. Wednesday, where they were running into a home of Hazmat Akani and Azmath Ligali. And while in shock, Hazmat had said, "I was so scared. I didn't want to touch the baby. His head was out. I said, I don't know what's going on.
God.
The officers had one option, and that was to deliver. They said she was crowning when we got there. She was obviously in a lot of pain. We just tried to comfort her as much as we could. The officers say, hearing that first cry meant everything. Kelly said, myself and Joe looked at each other, started smiling. We knew that the baby was okay.
So the first step is to get the mother comfortable and then perform a tracheotomy, correct?
Yeah, you immediately perform a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
Laspina even made sure the newborn stayed warm, being the first one to put the tiny baby cap on. On Saturday, they came to check in on the doting family, and the whole family couldn't help but hug them. So, good news.
Our very own Jackie Bam Bam, that's his cousin.
Yeah, oh. I saw him post about it over the weekend, so he was very proud of that. So,
it should be.
Very cool. All right, in sports this morning. Sacks are yummy. Don't shoot the messenger, but the Flyers lost to the New York Islanders last night's game. Four third period goals put the game out of reach as the Islanders took a 3-2-1 series lead with a 3-2 win. They're going to look to keep their season alive with the game tomorrow night in Toronto. Phil's lost to the Atlanta Braves last night at the ballpark. Austin Riley homered, doubled, and drove in three runs in Atlanta's 10-run second inning.
Oh,
what the
And the Braves held on for a 12-10 win over the Phils. Andrew McCutchen, Rhys Hoskins, Roman Quinn homered for the Phils, who were down by 10, but they made a game of it. The homestand continues tonight as Washington Nationals come to town, and Jake Arrieta gets the start. Game time scheduled for 7:05. And Auburn University, which canceled multiple football practices last week, will be without 16 players due to COVID-19 concerns when the team attempts to restart practice this week. Coach Gus Malzahn,
yes,
is that how you say his name, told reporters that the team currently has 9 players who have tested positive for the coronavirus and 7 others who are considered high risk. He said the Tigers have had very few players who have exhibited major symptoms. And added, we're learning as we go here every day, and every week is a challenge. Auburn is scheduled to open the season on September 26th at home against Kentucky. And there you go. That's what I have in news, sports, weather, all the things you need to know on this Monday morning. Thank you very much. And we welcome you and everybody here in the studio back from a weekend, hopefully. An enjoyable one for you guys?
It was. Yesterday was beautiful.
Was it not perfect?
It was gorgeous.
I'll take them every day like that.
Exactly.
While our
Classic sort of fall in summer day.
While our windows are not yet tinted, Steve, take a look outside and look at that sunrise.
Yeah, soon beautiful. The tinting will occur, sending us into a dramatic depression.
Bluish and pink colors. I'm loving
them.
But
for now, it's nice.
It does look nice.
All right, well, we have a few things that are going on through the course of today's show. We will be having on the program, guest-wise, Taylor Tomlinson, who's performing at Punchline for some midweek shows. And actually for, a little bit of a stand there, Wednesday through Monday.
Her last, I think, 10 shows on the Punchline circuit, Preston, all sold out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Taylor's checking in 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to have David Zucker.
Yes.
On the program.
Love the Zucker brothers.
Wow. Director. Now, the reason he's calling in is the 40th anniversary of the re-release of Airplane. We talked about it not that long ago.
We did a long segment.
Yeah.
And so it's very cool that he's calling in.
So many great movies throughout the years.
Well, Police Squad, Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah, so we'll spend time with Mr. Zucker on the 9 o'clock hour as well. So those guests are going to be joining us. We have a new Word of the Week prize. We have a ticket for you and 3 friends to see Smith and Myers, which is going to be the show at it's Thursday night the 3rd. Wait a minute, what's going on here? On Thursday, tomorrow / tonight, 9-3. Is that this coming Thursday?
Yes.
That's the Word of the Week. We give that away on Friday.
No, we're not here on Friday, bro.
We're not. Oh, no Friday, bro.
That's right.
Sad, bro. We won't be here on Friday, bro. That's right. We do have vacation day. So we're going to give that away early. All right.
Thursday. All right.
I'm always the last to know.
Well, and then it's Labor Day.
I know. And then it's Labor Day. I know. Yeah. So it's a holiday weekend. All right. So we will give that away. I was confused by that. I forgot. Bonus, man. bonus.
Score.
Score.
How are we giving the tickets away the day after the event?
I don't understand.
It doesn't. There's no words on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah, we'll F it. We'll do it live. All right. So these
things sucks.
These things and more are taking place. I'll get up to speed by the time we get to the next break. How about that? We'll come back in a moment and get to the entertainment news. Obviously, a huge loss in the world of entertainment. You probably already know. I'm sure you do. But we'll come back with the details and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question prize today is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. And the question I'm going to ask is about a tall tale. I just loved those. When I was
so did I.
The folklore. And this has to do with Paul Bunyan.
I love the Paul Bunyan myth.
In one tale, Paul chases his ox, Babe, all over the state of Minnesota. And according to the story, what natural features do their footprints create? 215-263 WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. Okay, so Paul Bunyan chases Babe all over Minnesota. And where do his footprints leave behind? 215-263-WMMR should say their footprints. All right, I'm going to go through some birthdays while we're waiting for the answer. Today is Monday, August 31st, last day of the month, and celebrating birthdays today, Richard Gere. Richard Gere turned 71 years old today.
That's why Kathy's off today.
Must be. She's celebrating his birthday.
That's still got a super crush on Richard Gere.
She does.
She was fangirling when he was in the studio.
Yep. They got along swimmingly.
He sure did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's damn handsome.
He's a good-looking man. Absolutely. But he was apparently a real jerk to Mark Summers on a plane one time.
That's the word. Like, he got on. It was in first class, and Richard Gere was already seated. Uh-huh. And Mark Summers comes in, and he's looking for a seat. And Richard, I think Richard Gere actually said,
"Oh no, not you."
Oh no, not you. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Something like that.
And it's like, you scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you know, Mark's really not anyone to hold back.
Nope. He does not. He does not bite his tongue.
Not at all.
So happy 71st to Richard Gere. Itzhak Perlman, the violinist, the virtuoso, is 75 years old today. And you'll see him from time to time. And in that world, he's obviously the rock star. But
I believe he's also the violinist for the soundtrack to Schindler's List.
Oh, really?
I think he either was nominated or part of that Oscar-winning soundtrack.
I've always wanted to actually see him perform live.
I wonder if he's ever played The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
You know what? Just for fun.
Probably. Right? Yeah.
He's 75. It's Debbie Gibson's birthday today. Debbie Gibson turns 50 years old today.
I had a Debbie Gibson crush when she first came out.
Oh, me too. Big time. And speaking of, you know, someone who you remember as a teenager, some of us do, is turning 50 years old today. I forgot when it was Macaulay Culkin's birthday. It was last week or the week before. He tweeted out, he goes, "Hey, do you want to feel old? I'm 40. And it was perfect.
You're welcome.
It was perfect. Yeah. Deborah Gibson is turning 50 years old. Yeah, I always had a thing for Debbie.
One of my first agents in comedy was associated with her agent some way. And so I got to go up when she first broke big.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a complex set up in Manhattan. And it was like 50 people working, you know, with 8x10s and sending out stuff and fan letters and all that stuff. Like, dear God.
Yeah. We also have another music birthday from the Go-Go's, drummer Gina Shock. Is celebrating her birthday today. I've not watched the documentary yet, and I've heard it's great.
Always dug the band. Yeah, and Gina Shock and Preston. They make the point in that documentary about the Go-Go's that Gina Shock was probably the most accomplished of the musicians.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so she made the band tighter.
Okay. I believe that. So happy 63rd to her. It's also rock great Van Morrison's birthday today.
Love Van Morrison.
Yep, he's a super, super talented guy. Multi-instrumentalist, great singer, obviously, and songwriter.
One of the most bizarre shows I ever saw. It was a great show, but it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a Van Morrison concert at the Spectrum. And it was weird because, like, people would go out to the bathroom, the door would open up, and light would come streaming into the venue.
Yeah, they had curtains
up.
Yeah. He is 75 years old today. Also celebrating today is Glenn Tilbrook of Squeeze. He is 63 years old today.
I played this for my daughter the other day because she's going through a major 80s kick, right?
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. I'm like, if you don't mind, you know, we were driving back from the shore. I'm like, I, you know, you play a song that you like and then I'll play one for you. She loved Squeeze. And I played Pulling Muscles as well, which I love. That's a great song
Excellent.
As well.
Happy 63rd to Glenn Tilbrook. Rudolph Schenker of the Scorpions turned 72 years old today. They are a favorite air guitar band of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would pose in the mirror pretending to play guitar back when songs like this were brand new on the radio. So he is 72 years old today. Always liked Scorpions. It's also Chris Tucker's birthday today. Rush Hour movies, Fifth Element, and
the Rush Hour movies.
he was here one time. He was a really nice guy.
And the word on him, you remember leading up to that, it was that he was kind of a pain in the ass and a prick, and he was really good.
He's 49. And the last birthday I saw is Marcia Clark, prosecutor in the O.J. Simpson murder trial. And she is 67. We'll see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. In the Paul Bunyan lore, Paul chases his ox, Babe, all over the state of Minnesota, and according to the story, what natural feature do their footprints create? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to John, see if he knows. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Hey, you jabronis.
Hey, cool word. All right, what is the natural feature that the footprints created in?
Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes.
10,000 lakes, yeah. Ah. You got it. Hang on, John. Got your info. We are going to set you up with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. You can play the most iconic skateboarding games ever made in one epic collection. Rebuilt from the ground up in incredible HD. All the Pro Skaters, levels, and tricks are back and fully remastered. And is available this Friday on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and on PC via Epic. And you can pre-order that today. I actually have box office results today.
That's pretty amazing. How long has it been?
It's been 6 months.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's crazy.
They're coming up on it. Wow. So at the box office this weekend, I only have the top five. I don't have 10. Number five was Words on Bathroom Walls. Number four was The Personal History of David Copperfield. Number three, Bill and Ted Face the Music. That made $1 million.
$1 million.
1.06. Yes, the theaters are like 25% capacity.
Yeah.
Number two was Unhinged. That's a Russell Crowe movie. And number one, The New Mutants made $7 million.
And that's available for streaming as well. Is it not?
New Mutants is? Oh, I would have watched that.
I thought it was. And I don't know. I'll have to find that. I did watch Bill and Ted's. I know you did as well, Case.
I did. And I don't know if you bought yours or rented yours.
I rented mine.
Okay. I bought mine because it was only $5 more than the rental. And I was like, well...
What if I want to leave something to my grandchildren?
Yeah, well, I was like, well, I might as well own it, you know, for $5 more, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow, we'll see as those restrictions start to, you know, continue to loosen up, and maybe we'll see some more take at the box office.
$1 million.
So we're going to dive right into the biggest story entertainment-wise of the weekend. So sad. It was like a gut punch. Chadwick Boseman has passed away. He had colon cancer. He was 43 years old. He died surrounded by family after a four-year battle that nobody heard about. With colon cancer that he managed to keep completely private despite starring in and promoting multiple critically acclaimed films while undergoing surgeries and chemotherapy. On Instagram, his team shared, "It is with immeasurable grief that we confirm the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2016 and battled it these last 4 years as it progressed to stage 4. A true fighter, Chadwick persevered through it all and brought you many of the films you have come to love so much, from Marshall to The Five Bloods, August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and several more. All were filmed during and between countless surgeries and chemotherapy. Bozeman's team wrote that his role as King T'Challa in Black Panther was the honor of his career. They said he died in his home with his wife and family by his side. The family thanks you for your love and your prayers and asks that you continue to respect their privacy during this difficult time. Bozeman is also beloved for his portrayals of historical figures such as Jackie Robinson in 42, Thurgood Marshall in Marshall, and James Brown in Get On Up.
Man, was he good in that.
He was so good as James Brown. It's hard to not believe that that's actually James Brown.
That's what I was thinking. It's one of those performances that transcends the deal where you're like, they must have found footage. They must have found footage because this is too good.
He was incredible in that. In 2018, he spoke of his relationship with two fans who died of cancer before Black Panther was released. He had told Entertainment Weekly, throughout our filming, I was communicating with them, knowing that they were both terminal. What they and their parents said to me was that they were trying to hold on till this movie comes. To a certain degree, it's a humbling experience because you're like, this can't mean that much to them. But seeing how the world has taken this on, I realize they anticipated something great. Thinking back now to when I was a kid, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for my birthday to come, waiting for a toy I was going to get a chance to experience, or a video game, I did live life waiting for those moments. It put me back in the mind of being a kid and feeling those two boys' anticipation of this movie. So
Denzel Washington had apparently paid for some of his college when he was learning, to act. Yeah. And but I mean, when people that close apparently were unaware of it, and the news started to break late Saturday evening, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The fact that he could do movie productions like he was involved with, the Marvel movies and the level of physicality, and he was undergoing that and still managing to pull all of that off. ABC ran Black Panther last night in honor of his passing.
I think it was Friday night that the news broke, Steve, because I was watching Jim Gardner, and the text started to go around amongst us. I think it was Friday that we found out.
Yeah,
about
it was.
And,
was it? Okay, yeah.
And so I had put my phone down for a little while, and then picked it up and saw a text chain amongst the show and a few other people. And then, but I before I got to that, I saw Jim Gardner report on it, and he goes, "This one is shocking."
Yeah,
and that's just how I felt, and I felt about it that way all weekend. And I sort of did a deep dive on a lot of his stuff, and his Instagram is really, it's odd to say, but posthumously, it's a cool follow. And he sang some Bill Withers stuff when Bill Withers passed away in April, and I found myself crying watching Chadwick mourn the loss of Bill Withers, and now we're mourning the loss of Chadwick Boseman.
Well, if you stop and think about, there were a lot of stuff comes into focus now because they were pointing out interviews where they were talking about, it looked like, you know, the interviewer saying, it looks like you're getting in shape for a role or you're dropping weight. And he says, I'll tell you later, basically, you know, I'll tell you what's going on later. And
I can't
believe
he kept it secret.
Yeah. This, like a number of other cases, being David Bowie and a few others where you're like, you had no idea that they were sick and just were soldiering on. But for a brief career, 43, you want to talk about movies that have touched people. And there is another Black Panther movie in the works. And how do you recast that?
Yeah.
You don't.
He was perfect.
Yeah, you can't. He had the right heartfelt, heroic attributes. It would be hard to find that. And I don't know if people would even allow that.
It's like retiring a jersey or something.
You know.
What I didn't know was that there is a female Black Panther character in the books, and I guess maybe that's just and it's his sister, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the way that, pass the baton, so to speak. I actually had a hard time when I told my son about it, because we had all basically, Nick, we found out in the same text chain. That was his reaction to me was the one that really got me, because, he didn't believe it. And then I could see that it upset him.
Yeah.
But then he didn't want
to. It's hard to process.
Like, it was almost like he was trying to save me a little bit of heartache. He's like, no, I'm OK. And I'm like, OK, I can see that you're not.
It's OK to not be OK.
Yeah.
It blew us all away.
Do we want to play clips later on or
whatever you want? There's a number of them. If you want to hold that for later, we can do that.
Let's play a couple of them in a little while because I have some other things. The MTV Awards were last night. I know you all have been waiting for the results of that. But
it was an amazing. I didn't watch it.
But I will come back to this in a little bit. It was just, it was a gut punch. It was just sad news. And in fact, Spike Lee had talked about working him on the set with him on the set of The Five Bloods. He said no one knew Chadwick had colon cancer when they worked on the film. He said we did it in Thailand. It was hot, jungles, mountains. Chadwick was there with us all the way. I never, ever suspected that anything was wrong. No one knew he was going through treatment, chemotherapy. He said Chadwick, a trooper, never complained. He was there every single minute in the moment, and his performance is a testament to what he put into that role and all his roles. He added, "We miss you, Chadwick. We are going to celebrate your life." So just terrible, terrible news. So, yeah, we'll play some clips and so on in a little bit.
Of the Marvel world, you know, of that Avengers group, I mean, no one else has passed. There's nobody besides Stan Lee himself, the creator.
Yeah, nobody I know. Yeah. Lady Gaga was the big winner of the MTV Video Music Awards last night, walking away with 5 awards. 3 of the stars' trophies were shared with Ariana Grande for their collaborative track, Rain On Me, including Song of the Year, Best Collaboration, and Best Cinematography. The pair also performed the track live for the first time at the socially distanced ceremony.
I was jumping over to watch it periodically.
Okay.
And when you would go over, you would see produced numbers. It was almost like you were watching videos, oddly enough, an MTV Music Video Award that they had produced stuff for. But right. it was not the usual audience and posing and preening that you're used to seeing. And it was actually a little bit more easy to take. Did you watch any of it?
I had no interest.
Okay.
Yeah. Liars wrong.
Neither. By the way, Lady Gaga was honored with the first ever Tricon Award.
The Tricon Award is much coveted. What the hell is the Tricon
I don't know what the Tricon is. But she was celebrating. Oh, here we go. Her music, film, and activism. So
well, there you go.
Was,
that's the Tricon.
That's
and then the
Tricon.
Vulcan Award.
The what?
The Klingon and the Vulcan Award.
The Vulcan Award. Gaga said that she failed multiple times as a musician and actress and noted how philanthropy has become a big part of her career.
She's a good actress.
She is. I thought A Star is Born was phenomenal.
She's really
I
good.
Thought she was excellent in it. BTS walked away with 4 Moon Man trophies for Best Group, Best Pop, Best K-Pop, and Best Choreography for On.
I was hyperventilating. I was crying so hard.
Sure.
I did watch their video. It was actually really well done.
They also gave the debut live performance of their new single, Dynamite. Video of the year.
It's a tribute to Jimmy Walker, Preston.
Video of the year went to The Weeknd for Blinding Lights and also won Best R&B for the same track. And the star used both his acceptance speeches to call for justice for Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor. The ceremony, which was originally scheduled to take place at Brooklyn's Barclays Center, but was moved to various outdoor locations due to coronavirus pandemic, was hosted by Keke Palmer.
Keke!
And she opened the show by paying tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
We do have that audio if you want to hear that.
Case, if you could set that up for me.
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I don't see that.
Okay. All right. We do not have that on.
No, we do not.
But it was touching. It
should be. VMAs dedicated. Okay, sorry.
We do have that.
We do.
Before we get into the music tonight, we need to take the time to talk about the devastating loss of Chadwick Boseman, an actor whose talent and passion is a true inspiration to all the fans he touched and everyone he encountered. We dedicate tonight's show to a man whose spirit touched so many. He is a true hero. Not just on screen, but in everything he did. His impact lives forever.
So she started with that, which was nice. So buzzworthy performances, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande, BTS, Miley Cyrus, Black Eyed Peas, and more took the stage while A-listers like Drew Barrymore and Kelly Clarkson had presented. And this year, the VMAs also added 2 categories to reflect the current state of music: Best Music Video from Home and Best Quarantine Performance, which went to Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber's Stuck With You. And who's CNCO? I don't know who that is. They're Unplugged at Home.
Okay, not familiar, but we wish them all the best.
Best Rock, the one category that deals with rock went to Coldplay for the song Orphans.
Okay.
There you go. All right. I mean, it's like, it's not a rock song.
I know.
And but you know what the thing is that the MTV Music Awards have been dropping in audience over the past couple of years. This didn't do them any good last night. But I have to say, what they were left with and how they had to produce it, they did a pretty decent job.
Okay. You know, I mentioned at the box office about how, you know, we actually had some scores and New Mutants went to the top. Only about 62% of U.S. movies are open right now following a five-month shutdown. And judging from box office receipts, moviegoers are still hesitant to head back to the theaters. The numbers are still low. On the theaters that are open, auditoriums maintain 25 to 50% capacity to allow for social distancing restrictions. The New Mutants snagged $7 million, as you said earlier. New next weekend, more theaters are expected to reopen as Tenet makes its debut. Observers will be watching California as Governor Newsom introduces new reopening plans, and San Francisco and San Diego are potentially going to be open. Tony, San Francisco might be opening up.
It's going to be great time. Can't wait to see the New Mutants. They've got powers that'll blow your mind, Preston. But it's scary.
Yeah.
It's not like the other ones. Very scary. I hear one of them can blow poop out of his eyes.
Wow. Out of his eyes?
Out of his eyes.
That's what I got to see.
That's something, right?
Yeah. Is that one out? I guess that mutant is out of San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The Bay Area.
The
one of our own.
The New Mutants drew 60% male, 34% female, 61% of the audience being 18 to 34, which is exactly who Disney expected.
What kind of blood types were coming in, Preston?
Would show up as, I don't know, would show up as cinemas reopened during the pandemic.
You know, you can't pump your own butter anymore now.
The under...
They got to do it for you for the COVID thing.
Oh.
Pump your own butter?
Yeah, you know, they have butter stations.
For the popcorn. I thought you meant like churning butter at home.
No. If you want to bring your butter churn, bring it.
All right.
Tony, in an odd coincidence, it was nice to see, Tony, that you put on Instagram last night a post about pancakes, which often...
I love them.
I know, yeah.
I love those goddamn things.
So did you put your own butter on those pancakes?
At home, I do, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
There were lemon ricotta pancakes.
I can only do one slice at a time, though.
Gotcha.
Because they're very heavy.
New Mutants drew... Wait, I already said that. So
The New Mutants drew...
The under-18 crowd repped 14% of those 25. Over 25 repped 60%. IMAX pulled in $390,000.
It didn't get good reviews.
Of 206 screens. It didn't?
It did not.
Oh, that's too bad. Repping 5.5 of the domestic opening.
I should have saw Bill and Ted's.
Okay.
Those two guys are a hoot.
What's going on? Tony, can I talk to Steve again real quick?
Yes.
thank you. What's going on with these X-Men movies? Because the source material is great. Why are they pumping out such crap movies?
Well, this one was actually sitting there for a couple of years.
Right.
And that was the deal with that.
The directors? Are they picking the wrong directors?
You know what? The last one, the Dark Phoenix, right? The last one.
I didn't even watch it.
It's not that bad.
Really?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not great, but you're right. You know, where they started from and how they've deteriorated, in case I don't know, because there's more than enough. I wonder if it's, we've been to this dance so often, you know?
Here's what happened with me and the X-Men universe with the comics goes, okay? So I was all in. I was right. I was getting my titles
every month.
I was coming and getting them every week, and I was a huge fan. And then there were just too much.
Yeah.
Too many characters, yeah. Too many plot lines, too much stuff
going
on.
That might be it. It might be too many.
And it muddied it for me personally, and then I stopped buying the comics.
And to that point, also, Casey, as you start to move on and you have to expand, you know, think when the movies worked the best, when it was sort of the same cluster moving along.
Right.
And the more you add to it and the more you start to do it. That's why it always tends to come back to the original, to Batman, to Superman on the DC side, and then on the Marvel side, you know, the Iron
Wolverine
Man, all the big, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to do it on the X-Men side, you know, Wolverine and Storm and Jean Grey and, you know, that core group.
And Poop Eyes.
And Poop Eyes.
Incredible.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be part of it. A couple other stories, and then we'll move along. Bella Thorne reportedly set records by raking in $2 million in her OnlyFans debut.
I'm a member.
With some claiming her appearance is essentially a tease. The Disney alum teased complete nudity, but isn't delivering, according to the New York Post.
I'm frustrated.
An alleged screenshot of a message from her OnlyFans account shared to Twitter had said, naked, naked, yes, naked.
accompanied by a pay-per-view post for $200. The pricey post, according to multiple Twitter users, showed the star in lingerie, not no clothes naked, as the message had promised. Several disappointed fans have demanded refunds. Thorne apologized Saturday, saying on social media that her goal was to, quote, remove the stigma behind sex, sex work, and the negativity that surrounds the word sex itself by bringing a mainstream face to it. That's what I was
well,
trying to...
that's all well and good, but you left me with a raging case of blue balls. I appreciate your activism, but I was finding it hard to take care of myself.
Tony.
What? You know you got to pump your own butter at the theater?
You mentioned that.
Well, it's hard to pump your own butter without naked bitches.
Exactly. Yeah, right. There's a correlation. I'm sitting there going, nude, Bella Thorne. There's not enough pumping material here. didn't that cause, fans reset their pricing structure now?
I don't know
and
about
so
that.
This is the deal, Preston. They then put into... they implemented this new pricing structure that is screwing it up for the people who are not Bella Thorne, who are making money off of their sites. Like, you can only charge this much for a picture. You can only charge... Apparently, you, as your with your account, could set pricing however you wanted to.
That's probably how it should
and
be.
And so they've which is what everyone else is saying. So she's upset herself, and she's going to talk to the people at OnlyFans, and they're going to try to work out something to roll that back.
And the pictures, Nick's got her Instagram page up here. The pictures on Instagram, I could do fine with those.
I'm sorry, but I can finish.
I can get done with those.
I mean,
you know, it's...
I had a semi.
Unless she's really... anyway, it depends on how graphic she wants to get with these. Right. But anyhow...
Like finger stuff.
She said, I am...
Pump that butter.
You know, Tony's 94.
He can say what I want.
You have to give him a little attitude.
At my age, there's nothing that's blocking it from coming out of my mouth.
Nope. You're good.
Pump that butter.
You're totally good.
Pump that butter. Nice and thick.
She said, I am a mainstream face, and when you have a voice, a platform, you try to use...
face with a butter pumping cooter.
What?
Yeah, man, you know...
She said, you try to use you in helping others. This is
what does that mean?
It's a typo.
It's a typo.
It should be you try to use it in helping others and advocate for something bigger than yourself. Again, in
you
this
keep process, telling yourself that.
Again, in this process, I hurt you, and for that, I'm truly sorry. She says so. Give them some. They want beaver shots. That's what they want. That's what you teased, and that's why people are upset over that. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But you can't.
Not, yes,
you can't pretend like you're going to do that. Take the money and then not deliver on that.
You're right.
That's false advertising.
And she's going to make amends. That's what she's promising for the other people on the site.
Meaning she's going
to
go.
She's going to talk to the higher ups at OnlyFans.
Okay.
And say, I don't punish everyone else who's setting their own price structures because of what I did.
But are we going to see Bush?
Lots of Bush.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Well, at my age, you're lucky if you get a half pump.
Pump that butter.
Pump that butter.
Mm-hmm.
All over the popcorn.
Okay.
Hot and drooling.
TLC's president, Howard Lee, has said that more spinoffs are in the works for ratings juggernaut 90 Day Fiancé.
Have you ever watched that?
I find it hilarious. Meaning that... Rochelle watches it.
I've seen a few.
It's on, and I'll stop, and I'll spend some time with it, and I do get caught up in it a little bit here, and I'm like, this is ridiculous, in that type of,
sure.
of getting caught up in a way. Because the ones that I've watched, because they're all about someone from a foreign country either coming here or vice versa.
Right, and how's it going to work out?
And how's that going
to
work
out? And you are sucked into wanting to find out.
And some of it's interesting, like there was a male gay couple, and the one guy was moving to Mexico, and in this village that was very resistant to gay relationships.
Right,
I'm like,
okay,
I want to check this out. This is how they're going to work this out. So some of it is pretty compelling. Others is just like, really?
Knock it off.
You're not interested in that, dude.
You're interested in television.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyhow, the show has been airing since 2014. 9 spinoffs, by the way.
9!
Yeah. including Pillow Talk and Happily Ever After, have been created. There's also one, Steve, I don't know which one this is, where the contestants themselves, they film them watching the show
yes.
when it airs.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
That's the new thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like that, whatever that Fox show was. Or
celebrities watch shows that we watch.
Or was that on the WB? I don't know.
Anyway. It was Fox.
And so I guess this is a new thing. And I guess if YouTube has made a whole platform of watching people play video games, then this is
Twitch.
Like
so,
that.
Like for example, for Airplane, we're having David Zucker on later on. There was a guy. There's a video popped up when I was doing some of the research, and it's a guy who shows his daughter movies that he loved when he was her age.
Okay.
And you know what? You got to have some sort of likable personality or something.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key.
He does not.
It's not just doing it. It's got to be the right people doing it. So
that
anyhow.
That's my issue with Bella Thorne.
One or two more of these spinoffs can be expected soon. At the Edinburgh TV Festival, he said, we listen to the audience, and it's very important to us that we don't just create a spinoff or a sequel or something else that's just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
We want to make sure that we are not just ripping ourselves off franchise after franchise. There's always a need when we start something new. So there's going to be more coming. All right, we're ready for the clips. Here we go. In the Amazon film Chemical Hearts, love is in the air when a high school transfer student begins working for the school newspaper. In this clip, star Lily Reinhart discusses what it's like being an executive producer for the
wait
movie.
A second. Who does that, Preston?
Lily Reinhart from the show Riverdale.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're killing time
No, we're
here.
Good. We're good. I just didn't hear the name.
All right, here we go.
It felt very natural for me. I've always wanted to be so involved. And so this was an opportunity for me to do that. It was so fun. It was such an amazing experience to be a part of something from start to finish. It was a dream come true for someone like me.
Ah.
Chemical Hearts is available to watch on Amazon Prime Video. Next clip. Cobra Kai is a series that follows the Karate Kid film saga 34 years later through the narrative of Johnny Lawrence's point of view. In this clip, Billy Zabka discusses the show, making the jump from YouTube to Netflix. Here we go.
We pitched it originally to Netflix. We almost landed in Netflix at the beginning, and YouTube grabbed it. So Netflix was always in the cards. But once YouTube decided they weren't doing the original content anymore for scripted, then it just went out into a free fall, for so to speak. So it was like December 19th, I got the news that they weren't picking it up. And so when we got to Netflix, it was kind of our dream from the beginning. And it's come full circle. So it's awesome.
So we had Billy on last week.
He was great.
Rochelle and I decided to give it a try. I remember when it first came out on YouTube, I watched the first episode. I'm like, okay, this is fun. But it didn't grab me. We are all in on this show. I thought it was just going to be kind of jokey.
Right.
And about, nostalgia and going back to the original film constantly.
But it's more.
It has got heart. It is produced very, very well. It's a lot more serious than you think it's going to be. There's some serious topics that are handled in it, and
right.
it's so good.
To be honest, when it first came out on YouTube, and again, I was telling Billy Zabka, I said, I don't go to YouTube for the TV shows. Obviously, they realize a lot of people mm-hmm. aren't. That's why they stopped it. But and the way they originally marketed it, it was much different. You and I thought it was going to be sort of like a parody of that sort of stuff. It's really good, but in its own right, in a different way. And I think that's what threw a lot of people off.
You're getting emotionally caught up in the characters.
Right.
There's some serious stuff going on in these people's lives. And there's bullying and all these other things. And then there's some confusion as to who you're kind of rooting for. And I was really, really surprised. And this is our show now. It was number one show on Netflix over the weekend.
Cool.
By the way. So I'm
good.
I'm
good
happy,
for him.
Really happy for Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio. I love Ralph Macchio. He's great. So and it's funny that it came out how many years ago? A couple years ago. Yeah. And now it's finding a bigger platform. So
thank you, Netflix.
I'm happy about that. So you can catch all the episodes right now. There's two full seasons, 10, and they're only half hour episodes,
mm-hmm.
and 10 episodes. Per season, and it's streaming on Netflix. There you go. That's what we have in the entertainment report this morning. Let's take a break. A couple of guests on the show. David Zucker, the director, is on our program to talk about the 40th anniversary of Airplane. Excited about that. And comedian Taylor Tomlinson will be joining us, too. She's going to be performing at Punchline Wednesday through Monday, which is great. And I think, yeah, all the shows are sold out.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, so we'll talk to her later on this morning, too. Stay with us Monday, getting through it together with the Preston and Steve Show. Be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I meant to wear my, I have a Black Panther, like, microfiber. It's his uniform. Yep. Somebody had bought it for me as a gift.
Yeah.
And I meant to wear that today. I totally dropped the ball on that. I was so bummed to get the news about Chadwick Boseman over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, and you try to put things into perspective. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. And there are a lot of things that happen, you know, and that are terrible. And you have lives lost and, you know, the storm in Louisiana and all the other stuff that's going on. But here's a guy who just... By his work and by what he was putting forth and by the character of the Black Panther and who he seemed to be, that just touched a lot of people in a most across-the-board sort of way. And mm-hmm. Especially when you had not an inkling that anything was happening.
That's what, you know, I was floored by. I mean, and his age. The fact that he's 43, and he passes away without any leading up to any... even guesses of, hey, you know, is something okay? Is he okay?
Right,
you know,
right.
None of that. Man, did he hide that.
Well, I saw that. Ooh. I saw the video of him months ago.
You could tell.
I could tell. But I didn't think anything was wrong. I thought he was preparing for a role. I thought, you know, right, like Christian right. Bale in The Machinist or something like that.
You didn't
that.
Think he was dying.
I did not. No. That was the last thing on my mind.
People that can keep... something that big. I mean, even just your average everyday citizen who's right. not in the spotlight that like to keep those types of things quiet and private, and you have your reasons for doing that, and I totally understand it, but it's got to be difficult, and more so if you are in the public eye as much as he was.
Well, and I love that his career shined so bright that's what the headline was. The headline wasn't, you know, Chadwick Boseman, thank you, hid this for years. It was just... you know, Black Panther's passed away, and I actually had, because I'm not obviously into, you know, all
the thing
as much as you guys, so I had to dig around and see if it was public or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like when, you know, one of my heroes passed away this year, Neil Peart, and
right.
same thing. Nobody knew. He had brain cancer.
That's
and
right.
He had been battling
yeah.
it for years.
I remember I was on the treadmill. It's funny when you remember when you get these things, you know, because they just, again, and it's how we contextualize things in life and how we receive information.
Yeah.
But that was one of those where you literally.
Oh. Yeah.
What?
Exactly. You double take. You're shocked. You lose your breath for a moment. Same thing with this.
Do you think any of his coworkers or directors or anybody knew at any point?
Spike Lee said he had no idea when they were filming The Five Bloods. And I mean, no clue. You know what? I don't know. Someone somewhere, yes, his closest confidants maybe probably knew. And when someone is under, you keep your word.
Right.
You keep your word.
You add into that the fact that he was able to bring the story of iconic African Americans to the screen in such an incredible, he started to serve as a conduit for this stuff that was allowing people who were unaware maybe of some of the stories to get this. And it was just such a rich movie career yeah. for such a young age.
And I watched, and I know a lot of people did, but the from 2018, his appearance on The Tonight Show with Fallon, where he was standing behind a screen and did not, and people were talking about how much Black Panther meant to them personally, and he was hearing what they were saying.
Right.
And it was so moving to hear what Black Panther, the movie and the character meant to them, and then he got to hear it without them knowing that he was there, and then he came out and gave all these people hugs. It was heartbreaking, but also heartwarming, you know, to see the impact that he made on a lot of people in a really, really positive way.
Some people just have... a way about them,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And he was that way to me. I don't know the guy. We've never talked to him.
You don't know him.
But he just seemed like one of those caring people. I don't know. That's the vibe that I got.
One of those guys was actually just talking there. You know, I happened to go back into the office. and Paul Rudd, just, you know, they're talking about Chadwick Boseman and saying to all of you kids who have who look up to Black Panther, know that the man who played him was even more of a hero. And Paul Rudd would be a case, God forbid.
Yes.
But somebody, I don't know him. You know, we talked to him once on the, you know. But again, when you, somebody like that, you're like, oh, you're, but you're not supposed to die.
So I was trying to remember, did we have Chadwick on for the 42 movie years ago? I think
if we did, I don't remember it at all.
I think it was a relatively quick phone interview. But I have a recollection of having him on the show, but I don't remember for certain.
If I were to be reincarnated into what I considered to be a sexy man, okay, let's put it this way. If I come back as the ultimate guy, I would want to have his voice and accent from Black Panther. There is nothing that exudes more suaveness to me than the way he delivered and the raspiness within his voice that he brought. You know what I mean?
My panty drop.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's outstanding. And he's a great voice actor. If you go from the characters that he's played and listen to how he alters his accents and voices, he was amazing.
It's hard to do that, the way that he did that. Yeah, I agree 1,000%.
Marissa, did you? I want to play a little bit of him as James Brown because he was fantastic. Get on up, Rolling Stone. What is this?
He's walking through. It was with Dan Aykroyd was playing his...
Okay, so this is a scene from the movie.
Yes.
Okay, all right, let me play a little bit here.
Rolling Stones ain't even ever had a hit record yet. Matter of fact, they ain't even ever played in America, have they?
I mean, that sounds exactly James Brown.
Who cares? They're just kids. In a year, nobody's going to know who they are. They're instant has-beens.
Rolling Stone.
It's just business, James.
When I hit that stage, two people better be ready. Especially the white folks.
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown.
And border to border.
So here, there's a couple clips in there.
There's a stage and a piano, and right now ain't nobody on it.
What you talking about? We can't go up there.
Why not on the floor? It's like you said, we're just playing around with Caledonia. Let's go play around.
I don't know what's going on here.
Ladies and gentlemen, hope you're enjoying the show.
What a starlight.
The famous flames.
Is this near the beginning of his career?
It's at the very beginning. Him and a bunch of his bandmates, they're at a club and the band leaves. And so he looks at him and he says, there's an empty stage. Let's go play.
Nice. So he, you know, he did a lot of stuff in his career. But the Black Panther one is the one that was the...
Catapulted.
Absolute, yeah.
Yeah.
Taking him to another level. Did you see Thurgood or Marshall, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was very good. Yeah. It's, again, an impressive body of work. And at his core, he couldn't have pulled all those roles off if I don't think at his core... had the humanity that the characters he was portraying had. So that's as good a testament to someone and their career as you can possibly have.
I'm going to play a couple other clips here. This is him talking about the importance of the Wakanda salute.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Here we go.
No, I don't get tired of people when they... as long as you know it's a salute. It's not a show, you know what I'm saying? Like, what I get tired of is when people tell me to do it. You want to go to that place, then you do it. Like, a woman came in here earlier... and she did it, and I did it right back to her. Like, it's that simple. I'm happy that people have taken it on as part of their language or culture. But it's when you want me to, like, you know, tap dance with you. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I know it's nerdy, and I get that it's a movie. But when the when they're in Wakanda in Infinity War... and everybody that lines up with Black Panther and they do the Imbombe chant.
Yeah. Getting the battle cry.
I get goosebumps.
Oh, my God.
I get so pumped up by that.
It's awesome.
It's completely a dorky reaction, but I don't care. And it's a visceral reaction for me.
Yeah. But you know what on that other side, and again, you're right. I know it's
a movie.
No, it's pretend.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. But like when he returned in the scene, that one of the scenes I love so much in the Black Panther movie. When he goes back to his, he's going into Wakanda and he sees his sister for the first time. She goes, my king. And he's like, knock it off, you know. And that sort of just wonderful. Yeah.
They're just brother and sister.
Brother and sister thing was just so nice.
Nick, apparently we did talk to Chadwick. You're right. In 2013, Marissa's going to look for the audio and see if she can find this. So that would have been for 42?
Yeah, and so Harrison Ford was the bigger star at the time, and it's Harrison Ford. But that movie is great, and he passed away, I believe. Friday was Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball and players, or maybe it was just a celebration of Jackie Robinson all weekend. But anyway, a lot of players were wearing 42 this weekend. Yeah,
that day.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our comic book guru from his Comic Book Guru podcast. Craig Ligons is on the line. Hey, Craig. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
You really can't convey how big a loss it is for the world, for the comic book world, and for African Americans in general. We've lost so many needlessly, and Chadwick was such a symbol of hope and of pride and of just being, because he was such a good guy to everyone who worked with him. They all said the same thing, and he embodied so many icons in the African American community, kids who had no idea of who Jackie Robinson was, or James Brown, or Thurgood Marshall. And Chadwick embodied all of them to the point where now kids know who they are, because he was the vessel that brought them to, you know, our truth and our history. And as far as Black Panther goes, his appearance in Civil War, I said this when it happened, it was the single greatest introduction of a superhero in any movie ever.
Yeah.
You know, his shadow, when he came down against the Winter Soldier, place went nuts. When you talk about Goosebumps, Nick, when he appeared in Endgame, the crowd, we watched it in a pact, just went crazy, went nuts. We all did.
Yeah. Craig, I actually watched a segment, and it was on Twitter, of, I guess maybe it might have been like the world premiere of Endgame, and when that portal opens up and he comes walking through, you couldn't hear the movie because of the crowd was going so crazy about that.
Yeah, it's one of those unmistakable moments that you will be with you forever. And the same thing with his impact can't be understated with anywhere. There's little white kids dressing up like Black Panther every Halloween because of him. Mm-hmm.
You could have had there are people who could have played that role. And I think, you know, the truth is, though, there you had all the ingredients, all the spices, all the things you needed to convey that humanity in Chadwick Boseman. And that's why it resonated so much. And I think that's why so many people are feeling like, I don't know why I feel so profoundly. I mean, you know, a loss, we get it. And yet it seems to transcend that a little bit more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. He was a gift. It was supposed to be him. It wasn't supposed to be anyone else.
Yeah.
He was here for this amount of time to give us so many cultural icons like Jackie Robinson and James Brown and Thurgood Marshall, and to be Black Panther. No one else but him could do that and could convey that with such heart and goodness and kindness and humor and that smile and that voice. Is no one but him.
We should play the clip of...
thanks, Craig.
Him from Black Panther, explaining Black Panther's mission in life.
All right, here we go.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own. I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
I love that delivery. Yeah. It's great. It's interesting that, why do you think he chose to keep that so quiet about having cancer?
It's a personal choice. And, you know, and as you said earlier, and correctly so, you respect people's rights to do that. And I think a lot of people and people that I've encountered, again, I can't even put my prostate cancer in the same realm because it was caught early thanks to my... our dear friend, Dr. Mike and Dr. Lee and all that stuff. But it's a choice you make. And I think he did. And we're just stunned when everything you do is chronicled by someone with a cell phone and word leaks out and so on and so forth, that he was able to keep it a secret is mind boggling.
You know, it because a loss is a loss and it's tragic no matter what. But I think we as humans, when there is loss, whether it's somebody we actually know or somebody we admire from afar, whatever it may be, start to try to analyze why we feel the way we do, or why these people chose to do that, because you're impacted by it. It's an impact. But I'm, you know, I was started thinking, how upset would I be if I would have known that he was sick and that this was coming, and that, you know, you hear updates along the way that things aren't looking good. And
take for example,
does the passing go easier or not? You know what I mean?
Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Take for example, Alex Trebek.
Right.
We're watching his public inspiring battle continue. Mm-hmm. And I hate battle. You know, Norm MacDonald does a great bit about waging a war with cancer. Because it used to be you just have cancer.
Yeah.
Because now you have to wage. Ah, he lost his battle with cancer.
Right.
What a loser.
Right. Right. Right.
And it's the way we frame it. And I don't know, Preston. Had we have known, I think also the fact that he was working on these movies in the throes of this.
Right.
And that I probably did not want that to be the story.
Yeah. You're probably right about that. Because I reflect back on the thing with Neil again, too. You know, like, I mean, would it have been less of a, you know, it would have been obviously sad hearing that this person you admire is sick, and then you're watching their progress, and all of a sudden the progress is working, and then it's getting worse. And then you're like, you know, the you go through these waves of emotion as opposed to bang. Here's the bad news. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I've seen people who are like, who don't want that to be their story. They, you know,
right.
Hey, that's the guy with cancer. That's the woman with cancer. And it's said often, I don't define me by my disease, you know. And here's a case where we all hope for it. I think you and I have said this. We've all said this at some point or to some variation. When you do finally check out, you hope you've done something that's made the world a little bit better.
Yeah.
In his brief life, clearly he did.
Yep.
And so that's what's grabbing us.
Here is a clip. This is one of the, after, you know, being shocked by it, the next day, one of the first things I searched out was Chadwick Boseman on SNL Black Jeopardy as King T'Challa. Because it was so damn funny. So Marissa grabbed a clip from this. I assume it's towards when he's answering about, you know, do you invite the category was white people and a woman bringing potato salad to your to your party. Is that what this one is? Oh, it's not? Oh, okay. Well, let's see what we get here. Hang on a second.
Let's stay with grown ass for $600.
Okay.
All right. You send your smart ass child here because she thinks she grown. T'Challa.
What is to one of our free universities where she can apply her intelligence and perhaps one day become a great scientist?
Okay, well, the answer we was looking for was out my damn house. But you know what? I'm gonna give it to you, T'Challa. Y'all must not have no mean streets in Wakanda. All right, the board is yours.
Very well. Let's go to Ahelna. For 800.
I need to hear the rest of it, though.
It's so funny. And what's the other one? They ask about, you know, using your grandmother's name for a loan application or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, why would you do that? He's like, to honor her as the as the pillar of the family. No.
So you can get your cable.
Yeah. It was so well done. And did he do any comedy? I only know his more serious roles. I don't have his IMDb of all the movie roles that he played. But
that I don't know.
I'm sure he could have done great comedy as well. He just seemed like a real versatile person, man.
You guys have referenced a few times Get On Up, the James Brown story. I haven't seen that one yet, and I really need to.
Dan Aykroyd was the executive producer on
that.
That's why it was tremendously important to him to do that. We might have talked to Dan Aykroyd around that time as well. But it's really good. It's really good.
We have a clip of he delivered the commencement at Howard University. I don't know what year this was. But we have a clip of Chadwick Boseman speaking to the staff here, or to the student body. Here we go.
I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Now, this is your time. Press on with pride and press on with purpose. God bless you. I love you, Howard. Howard forever.
Oh, man. Wow. And so they showed the movie last night? Or
last night on ABC, yeah.
Man, I watched Civil War. That was what I did on Friday, and then I ended up falling asleep. And then on Saturday,
that battle, as Craig was talking about, that driving battle when he's going back and forth. Now, obviously, there's a lot of CGI. You'd be surprised how many practical stuntman effects there are in that Black Panther.
The practical effects in the where he basically first enters and they're running underneath the tunnel with the cars. Those are all practical effects.
Practical effects. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's one of the greatest battles mm-hmm. in a comic book movie history, and mm-hmm. that character. So here, I'll throw this out since this is a point of contention here, and it shows you how powerful his performance was. Do they continue with the Black Panther series? Do they recast it? Do they find another way to move forward with it? You know,
I'd say I would think, out of respect to him, that they because the Black Panther, you know, through the in Wakanda is different people along the way. His father was the previous one.
Right.
And so I think they could continue the storyline somehow or another. He passes away and the torch is passed to someone else. I think that would be a respectful way to do it. And they carry on the Black Panther, but someone else, and not someone playing King T'Challa, somebody playing a different heir to it. I think that would be cool.
As long as it keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on a second. Let me go to Paul on the phone. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, bud?
Not much. So, I live in Ridley Park in Delco, and they filmed, part of 21 Bridges at my house, and Chadwick Boseman was here for like 3 days. Absolutely fantastic guy. Him and J.K. Simmons were both here. Like, couldn't believe, just so thankful of an individual. I mean, like, he wasn't just somebody who's like, oh, this is a set, they're paying for it, I'm going to use it how I need it. Just really always talking about how thankful he was that we opened our house to him and all sorts of comments. And, you know, it was obviously dressed up for one of his sets. And he's like, oh, I really see this and I see that. And they used our, one of our sleeping porch on the back as his green room. And he was like always insistent, like whenever we were coming in, hey, hang out, do this, do that. And we're really interested in, you know, what we had to say. And he was just a really awesome guy. And
Paul
Delco, he got a Toledo's hoagie and was a huge fan.
I'm sorry, where in Delco was this, Paul?
Ridley Park.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, when they're using your home for shooting like that, what's your access to the house? Do you hand it over and essentially you're out while they're doing work, or you're allowed to come by? I mean,
it was like 3 days of setup, 2 days of shooting, and then 3 days of breakdown. And I mean, they were fine with us being here the entire time. I mean, we were hanging out, like watching from behind the director's screen. We were like backstage. They were completely fine with it. They're like, it's your house, you know, just stand in the way and you can do whatever you want. Unfortunately, the neighbors started nosing around, and so they got a little bit more.
Right, always the neighbors.
Yeah. Did you get any pictures with Chadwick?
No, unfortunately, I didn't, because that was one of the few rules they had, was because it was all pre-production. They didn't want anything getting out there.
I got you.
But I got pictures of him like at my house, but not with him.
Okay.
But J.K. Simmons got some photos with him, and he actually stopped to take pictures. She's playing a police officer with the Ridley Park PD. So that was really cool.
Hey, how long ago was this shooting, Paul?
This was 2017, I believe.
He would have been sick then.
Yeah.
He would have been going through treatment at that point.
Exactly. That's why, you know, in retrospect, it was so crazy. And, you know, it's as you guys talk about all the time, when you're talking with, you know, some of your favorite musicians and things like that, you don't know somebody, but then you know, you really kind of get to see, like, inside who they are.
It's true, though. You think you do because of the way, you know, we're used to now celebrity culture and the way we perceive people. But some people can cut through that, and you just know they're that person, you know. And so I'm glad to hear you had a good experience with him. That's an amazing memory.
Somebody who can really, you know, make a connection across film, and then you meet them in real life, and they can make a personal connection right there in front of you.
We've talked about the liability of meeting people that you revere for the fact that they can be scumbags if you, you know, and it has happened. You know, this, but to hear this, you know, is what you knew, kind of.
And he specifically mentioned that Delco is better than Monco.
I know that. You go.
He keeps it classy.
Who brought Monco into this, man?
Monco's not part of this argument.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy.
Right.
For T'Challa, it was.
That's pretty cool.
Monco.
I'm going to play a little clip of him. And Dr. Mike's calling in real quick here. We're going to talk to him in just a second. But let me play this clip. Chadwick on our show in April of 2013, talking about 42. So here's a clip. We have a guest on the line. And he is the star of the number one movie in the country right now.
Yes.
Did very, very well in the theaters over the weekend, 42. And by the way, Nick, when was did they already do the Jackie Robinson Day for Major League Baseball?
Yes, it was on Monday.
Which was very cool. Everybody won the wore the number 42. And this guy, we don't know much about him.
We do know he got to work with.
Wow, we don't know about him back then.
Well, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, and this is a really big deal. But he stars as Jackie Robinson in 42, and we are going to welcome Chadwick Boseman to the show this morning. Chadwick, how you doing, man?
Oh man, good morning. I'm doing good, man.
Excellent. By the way, do you go by Chadwick or do you go by Chad? How do you like to be referred to?
I prefer Chadwick.
Okay,
Chadwick.
It's a cool name. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Anderson, South Carolina.
South Carolina. All right. And obviously you got the opportunity to play Jackie Robinson, which is just huge. It's such an iconic figure. Were you yourself a ball player as a kid or in adulthood?
I played Little League baseball, but I never played seriously. I never played high school or college or definitely not minor leagues or anything.
I would guess you would have had to have gone to a trainer of sorts and got some know-how, because I mean people can pull off looking like a baseball player, but if you really want to do it, I'm sure you have to get some coaching for that.
Well, yeah, no, I'm an athlete, and what we did is I had a few coaches throughout the process, and we trained for several months, so it was an intense baseball spring training.
Awesome. I got to ask you, did you keep anything from the set or from the wardrobe or any of the baseball paraphernalia?
we'll take that as a maybe.
I'll take that as I don't want them coming to look for me.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I never did see the movie 42.
It's really good.
Yeah, everything's there's nothing that, you know, again, because of him.
It's funny to hear myself talking to somebody who would go on to be a huge star.
I know.
Who's just getting started, and I'm asking stupid questions.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting
what's your favorite gum?
Yeah.
You didn't know.
You chew gum, right? Yeah.
You chew gum. What's your favorite brand of gum?
I don't know. I like Wrigley. I
guess. What do you like to eat? Dr. Mike is on. He wants to talk about the medical side of this. So we have Dr. Mike's... I'm sorry, man. We can't welcome the doctor.
Dr. Mike forever.
Without a song about a drug dealer, which is what Dr. Feelgood is, but got the word doctor in it. So from Penn Medicine and Fox 29, Dr. Mike Sirigliano. Yeah. Good morning, Dr. Mike.
Wow. You know, this is like the old days, something not related to COVID.
Good point. Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely.
But very, very important. And what this brings home is that colon cancer is going up, especially in younger people. You know, you think about colon cancer as being a disease of older folks in their 60s and all of that. The numbers are actually going down, except in young people and especially African Americans. And we don't know why. We don't know whether it's a genetic thing or lack of access to health care. But the bottom line is that even the most aggressive screening organizations say 45, and he was diagnosed much earlier than that.
All right,
and
I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Mike. So, question, because I know that the mandate is to get a colonoscopy when you turn 50 for African-Americans. Is that have they put a younger age on that?
Well, because of the trends that we're seeing with a rising number of younger people getting colon cancer, some organizations, and I say some because it's controversial, are saying 45.
Okay.
But see, this is where having a healthcare person guide you through the shark-infested waters helps you. Now, if he were my patient, and you've all been there, I have done bad things to you to look for blood in the stool.
Yes.
All right. And that's a hemocult test to see if there's occult blood. That's one of the signs. And in some people, they are anemic. That means their iron levels are low. They can have a change in their bowels. They can have abdominal pain or weight loss. So I don't know what was going on. My suspicion here is that he may have had a family history. There are these conditions that lead to a high number of colon polyps, and one of them is Lynch syndrome, where you can have significantly higher risk. I mean, he was diagnosed at age 39, wow. and that is a very, very young age. So
the family thing, listen, and again, I'm due for one. I don't want to talk out of turn, but I know other people who are due for one. It is you go in, you get it done, you get that rockin' propofol, and everything is good, and you get the checkups. And I've known more than enough people in my life who have had, you know, the test done, and things have been removed that could have gotten worse later on, and so you go through the process. It's a maintenance thing that can really. Here is an obvious example, you know, where stuff like this is important. It can take your life, and if you are preventative and do all the preventative measures, you can save your life, and it's not that much to do. Correct?
Steve, it's not that big a deal. It sounds bad. You have to prep a little bit. You use Miralax and Gatorade. You know, it's a much more genteel approach now than it was back in the day. And if you do that, it could save your life, especially for men. You've got to do it. You can't say, well, I feel fine, because sometimes you don't have symptoms before it's too late.
I had no symptoms with the prostate cancer.
Speaking of symptoms, though, if you what are some that might raise a red flag?
Well, like I said, if you have a change in your bowels, all of a sudden you're having new constipation. If you see blood down there in your stool, if you have abdominal pain, if you have weight loss, if somebody says, hey, you look really pale, you know, maybe your iron is low. And so those are the symptoms. You listen to the body. And there's an old saying by the father of American medicine, Sir William Osler, you listen to the patient, they will tell you the diagnosis. And so in young people, everyone now gets a digital rectal exam to check for blood, and if there's any family history, or if you have a history of like ulcerative colitis, inflammatory bowel disease, that increases your risk of colon cancer, and so you'll need more frequent screening and probably starting at an earlier age. If you do this, it can save your life and move on with your life.
That's the positive side. I can speak from experience, having had cancer, prostate cancer. You get it, you get the checkups, and as you said, you go on and live your life. You move past that. Don't live in fear. A lot of times fear will drive people into this embryonic state and, you know, fall down on the floor and curl up, and I don't know. Go get it done the same way you go to the dentist, and get those things that'll give you a good long life, the long life you deserve.
Well, it's a simple thing. And look, for people that absolutely, there are some people who cannot have a colonoscopy. There are other ways. There's CT scans, CT colonography. There's Cologuard. There's a lot of options. But the gold standard is to go up there. If they see something, they biopsy it, they get it out, and then we know where we stand. If we do that, then we are in good shape. But you have to take the initiative and do the right thing.
All right, Dr. Mike, always some wisdom from you. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. We love you.
I love you guys.
All right, love Dr. Mike's really, you know. Nice to check in and give you some good advice. And, I don't have time to go to these other calls, but like Hannah's online says, it's important to get checked 10 years earlier if colon cancer runs in your family. And if it does, talk to your doctor. Your doctor will tell you exactly what you need to do. So just sad, horrible, terrible news about Chadwick Boseman. Nobody knew about it. Kept it to himself. Taken way too soon. But left by some amazing entertainment.
Yes.
And inspiration. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we'll get into the bizarre file that is on the way next. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, over the course of the weekend, I collected some stories for you. I will now share them in the form of this.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's begin. We'll start with a Norwegian court jailed four young men who blasted compressed air into the rectum of an acquaintance, rejecting their defense that the act had been intended as a prank. The victim had passed out at a party and was unable to defend himself when five fellow revelers came up with the scheme involving an air compressor, a high-pressure tool, of course, can be used to power anything from nail guns to spray guns. Judges found the plaintiff was exposed. That was Casey's butt, by the way, with an air compressor. Judges found that the plaintiff was exposed to a level of significant force in the rectum after air was injected from a compressor which damaged the rectum and sphincter.
Nearly killed him.
At the time of the incident, the five accused told the court that it had been intended as a prank, common during parties thrown by their rural youth organization. Four of them were sentenced up to 7 months in prison, by the way.
Remember when you had a series of stories out of Japan where there, a lot of people were doing it for sexual gratification at service stations?
Yes. Not a good idea.
No, those are meant to inflate car tires. Mm-hmm.
A government official, this is hilarious, was caught having sex with his secretary after accidentally joining a Zoom meeting with his colleagues in the Philippines.
Best Zoom meeting ever.
Staff from the Fatima Dos Village Council were hosting their regular conference call on Wednesday before their boss, Jesus Estil, had joined the meeting. But Estil, who is apparently not so tech-savvy, had mistakenly pushed the wrong button and left his camera on. The others began their discussions before the captain stood up and walked towards a woman seated on the sofa a few steps away from the computer. Unknowingly, the captain and the woman began performing sexual acts while their stunned colleagues watched on. The woman was later identified as his secretary, who also does the accounting on the local government's office.
She was taking shorthand.
One of the colleagues was able to record the explicit scene. The video was later made public and prompted some residents of the village to file a petition to oust the captain for misconduct. Estil will be relieved of his post as quickly as possible, a statement had said.
It's possible people have gotten a little too casual on these Zoom meetings.
Both he and the woman have not reported to their offices since the video was released. This is sad news. A well-known South African conservationist has died after he was mauled by two white lions as he was taking them for a walk. The wife of West Mathewson, who followed in a car, tried to distract the lions, but it was too late. He had run a popular safari lodge called Lion Treetop Lodge in Limpopo Province. The lionesses have been since moved to another game lodge and are expected to be released into the wild at a later stage. Apparently, a lioness became aggressive towards the other and then turned her attention on him. His relatives have said that the attack could have been the result of very rough play.
Yeah.
The lioness,
you know, the kind where they rip your head off.
The lionesses were tranquilized following the attack and have been taken to an endangered species center. Mr. Mathewson is said to have rescued the lions from what's called canned hunting, where animals are hunted in an enclosed area or they are bred to be hunted, and they were kept in enclosure at an enclosure at his lodge. By the way, the lionesses reportedly killed a man working on the neighboring property in 2017 after they broke out of the enclosure.
Yeah.
So they've done it before. Wow. Cell phones are easily lost, and depending on where they were lost, might never be found. In the case of one woman who lost hers in a vault toilet in the Flathead National Forest, it took some dirty work and a bit of ingenuity, but a crew with A1 Sanitation returned the phone almost as good as new. Tracy Cow was the...
Was it covered in poop?
Yeah. Tracy Cow was the first person to come in contact with the phone when he noticed it at the bottom of the vault toilet.
Oh.
He said it was like, whoa, there's a phone. We tried not to just suck it up or whatever, and then we went to get the grabbers. We have some grabbers that can grab stuff like bottles and things, and Cody grabbed it out. Cody Everett is who he's talking about.
Cody's good at that.
So Cody sanitized the phone, let it dry, plugged it in, wondering if it would even turn on. Lo and behold, the phone powered on and the search for the owner began. They don't know how long this thing was in all this feces.
Oh, my God.
Pee and feces.
Eek.
So what they did is they swapped.
You're getting me homesick.
They swapped the SIM card from the phone to another phone, and they said Cody said the only actual information on that SIM card was her phone number, and it was enough for the quest to move forward and to find the rifle owner. He said, I called and left a voicemail. She ended up calling me back. I wanted to make 100% certain that that was actually who the phone belonged to, so I didn't give any information on about the phone or anything. And the girl's initial reaction was, well, you guys must have to pump out toilets because that's the last place I saw that phone.
Bingo!
Ended up being hers, and it ended up working just fine. Pretty
wild.
You
can throw it away now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I
don't need it. I have a new phone.
All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. How about this? An Alabama man has been indicted on multiple federal charges after authorities say he was making drugs in his kitchen and marketing them as cancer treatments. The drugs were homemade suppositories manufactured in an environment so unsterile that customers reported finding pieces of hair in their suppository packs. They announced,
if I was using a suppository and found hair in it, I'd get sick.
They announced a 28-count indictment against 54-year-old Patrick Charles Bishops on charges related to his purchase, manufacture, and distribution of drug products that had never been reviewed or approved by the FDA.
Proctologist, there's a hair in my suppository.
But he claimed were effective cancer treatments.
Uh-huh.
Bishop sold PNC-27, the drug products, to Hope for Cancer, a holistic cancer treatment center with clinics in Mexico. Bishop would ship the products to a location in California, and Hope for Cancer would use the products to treat patients at its Mexico clinics. Bishop also sold drug products to patients and others in the United States and shipped those products directly to locations in the U.S. and elsewhere. I mean, he's facing some heavy charges because you can't do that. That's just...
Well, you know it works because it's made in my kitchen.
And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for now. We're going to take a quick break and come back in a moment. Am I giving something away?
Yeah. Not only are you giving something away, check out what you're giving away.
All right, I have a code to see Christopher Nolan's original sci-fi action spectacle, Tenet.
Whoa!
Starring Robert Pattinson, Michael Caine, and Kenneth Branagh. So we'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR, and you will get it. It's from Fandango. And armed with only one word, Tenet, and fighting for the survival of the entire world, the protagonist journeys through a twilight world of international espionage on a mission that will unfold in something beyond real time.
I'm scared.
Not time travel, inversion.
Oh, I hate inversion.
And it's in theaters on the 3rd, so you get it ahead of time on Friday. So caller 18, 215-263-WMMR. It's yours. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm not sure what to do here because I noticed some things in my junk drawer.
Uh-oh.
So...
Well, I said the Genotiser.
Genotiser?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Or the nunk drawer.
I kind of like that. Yeah.
The nunk drawer?
Yeah.
Okay.
A hybrid that allows for both.
Oh, man.
These are both good at the
it's
same
like a
time.
Club mix.
Yeah.
Would you say that there was more on a random information level or something that you seriously said, huh?
No, more random.
Okay, then it's the junk drawer. Clearly.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Junk drawer then?
Junk drawer. Here we go. As Japan's leading maker of self-pleasure aids, Tenga is the name of the business.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Is no doubt well aware that some people may snicker at the vigorous workout that its customers are giving their arms and wrists. But with the company's newest product, that won't be a snide remark, but an accurate description of what is happening. The new Tenga workout gear looks just like Tenga's flagship vacuum cup model. It's kind of like a Fleshlight.
Yes.
But there's one important difference. It's made out of cast iron, so you can use it as a dumbbell for weightlifting.
So, like,
while you're
jerk
doing
and press
it.
Means a lot more now, right?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how exactly, what is the weight of your average device that's made of metal?
8.8 pounds.
Okay, that's formidable.
That's really heavy.
That
for one hand?
Yeah.
And for that particular motion, yes. You can hurt yourself with this.
Mm-hmm. But you can get jacked.
And jack while you're getting jacked. So it's made out of cast iron. And
wouldn't that be cold, though?
It's made, you flip it open, and you can insert the Tenga, this self-pleasure aid, inside the metallic shell, and then ostensibly insert yourself into the Tenga.
I see a movie here, Tenga and Gash.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Tenga workout gear itself weighs 8.8 pounds, almost 9 pounds. It's 4 kilograms. And the total weight will be a little bit higher for those who choose to insert the standard Tenga inside of it and use it.
I like to keep those things separate, honestly. Yeah. On my workouts, I try not to get aroused. I find that boners get in the way of the exercise routine that I have.
Although, sex, if done vigorously, can be one hell of a workout.
Yeah, it sure can.
It can be an aerobic workout.
Yes.
And you can sometimes work muscles that you don't normally work.
And pull muscles. Have you ever pulled a muscle during sex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have.
Absolutely.
And it's so embarrassing.
I don't know if I've pulled a muscle. I've gotten a cramp.
A cramp, I should say. You're right. Yeah.
Do you fight through it or do you stop?
Sometimes it's like...
You play hurt.
There's no choice. Like a Charlie horse in the middle of sex...
Unbelievably
dude, forget
painful.
It, dude. I mean, like, I can't hang on to wood, you know, when you're getting a cramp. Those things are insanely painful.
Yeah, it's hard to keep a bone when you're...
Yeah. Marissa, we have other things
that we
worry about department, so...
But, I mean, if you can hang on, try.
Yeah, oh, yes. Of course, absolutely. If it can
hold
be done,
on,
if you're not being distracted by that excruciating pain in your calf,
the crippling pain that's causing you to get faint.
The company has even prepared a list of suggested exercises, some of which would require considerable flexibility.
Like
and
what?
Length to use yourself. There was a video. I didn't watch it. While it's repeatedly shown itself to be a company with a sense of humor. They seem to be serious about the health benefits, declaring Tenga has created the fusion of fitness and self-pleasure.
What's the most erotic piece of equipment in a regular gym? What is best for sex? The regular bench is good.
Yes.
I don't know. The
maybe the
preacher bench?
The tower where you can do... because I have a tower at home and you can... What's the exercise?
Flies?
No, hang on, I'll show you. There's no moving parts to the tower. It's a you do pull-ups and then
you put your arms up here and you do leg
raises. Leg raises, yeah.
Yeah, but what's that? What's this thing where you rest your arms up there? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know the technical name for it. Yeah.
However, listen, there is a new apparatus. Nick Murphy, help me out here. They have it at that brand new Y.
The auto suck.
No, it's not an auto suck. But it's just
I can't get on the thing.
It's just a block. They have something in there that basically could probably serve as a sex swing.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's this?
It's at the brand new Y that they just opened up outside of Fort Washington.
It's going to be one popular Y.
Yeah. But I don't know what it's called.
Why'd you ask Nick Murphy? Does he go there?
Because he and I shot a video there.
Oh, okay.
Right before they opened up.
Okay.
And, I mean, this thing is monstrous.
It looks like a sex swing?
I mean, it could serve as so many different things. Murph, if you can find that video and show these guys, because, I mean, it's just, like, the apparatus is as big as this room.
Really?
Yes.
That's,
yes.
Wait a second. Is it multiple, like, pillars, like metallic girders?
It's, yeah.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Those are actually really good. They're very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one of these at the Y?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. It's as big as this room, and only one person can use it at a time.
Multiple people can use it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a lot of different stations.
Yes.
Okay, so I gotcha. All right. But anyhow, if you want to spank it and get a workout at the same time, you got to get this thing. Only it's $520.
I'll pass on that.
Jesus, that's ridiculous. Okay, what else I have here?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to a completely different direction.
So that was enlightening.
Rocky IV. Sylvester Stallone is currently working on a director's cut of the film in time for its 35th anniversary.
I want to do a director's cut.
Casey loves Rocky IV, by the way.
Best one.
It's actually, no, we are standing direct disagreement on this.
I think it's pretty terrible.
I think it's, yeah.
Watch it again, and maybe you'll appreciate it.
It's horrible.
I just think it got ridiculous at that point, and they, but anyway.
No, man, listen, he used... You know, Ivan Drago had all of the technology and the drugs, and, you know, he lifted logs and ran in the snow.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Yes.
To stop communism.
Yes.
You know, maybe he did drugs and had computers, and I lifted logs and ran in the snow. But if we could kill each other here in the ring, then maybe... You could kill each other in the ring.
No.
What?
No killing.
No killing.
After a fan made a very specific plea in the comments, Stallone had posted something about it. He had revealed a new detail which might not sit well with fans who go all the way back with this movie. Somebody had written on Instagram, "Don't cut the robot." And then Stallone replied, "I don't like the robot anymore."
But the robot, I think, is essential because it just sort of goes to show...
How bad the movie is.
No.
Yes.
How outrageous, you know... His wealth is, yeah.
Right, that he could purchase a robot because he's getting it for a birthday present.
Yeah, he went from this guy who was, you know, beating his meat in the first movie, and now all of a sudden he's got robots for Pauly, and, you know...
He was beating his meat?
Yeah.
Punching sides of beef.
Yeah. It has a wholly other context.
The robot in question...
This one's going to focus on self-pleasuring.
The focus... not the focus. The robot is called... Did you know the robot is called Sicko?
No.
Sicko.
S-I-C-O. Sicko, maybe?
Sicko.
Created by International Robotics Incorporated.
We know it better as Pulsar, right?
I don't think it's the same one. Yeah.
Was it not?
No, we just always kind of played it off as that. In the film, Rocky gifts the robot to his brother-in-law, Pauly. Pauly resents the gift, and then later in the film seems to warm to its presence, notably after the robot had an overhaul and a new female voice, and that's finally when Pauly came around to it.
It is a very stupid part of the movie. I understand, though, if you're going to do a director's cut, you usually... add scenes,
right,
and add content. Do we have the clip of the that incredible scene?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
What is this?
Your present.
Yo, I wanted a sports car for my birthday. Not no walking trash can.
Oh, come on, it looks great here.
Please make a wish.
It's creepy. That talks, that thing.
Creepy? This is the greatest. I wish I had one of these when I was growing up. Go on, make a wish, like he says.
I wish I wasn't in this nightmare.
Very good, huh?
I mean, he's it's just before number five, uh-huh. and he has Rocky descending.
This is a robot, buddy. He's a robot,
I would.
It's like a birthday present for
him. So while Stallone's dismissal of the robot. Robot could possibly have been interpreted as some dry humor. He went on and took it a step further, answering another question. Somebody had also posted, does it expand on the relationship between Paulie and his robot? And then Stallone's response eventually was a little bit more firm and said, the robot is going to the junkyard. No more robot.
Yeah.
So he hated it.
I saw some tweet somewhere, and I'm trying to find it, but I think the person tweeted at us or maybe tweeted at some of the, maybe something retweeted, whatever, that this robot or this line of robots, the guy used to work for the company, was developed to help kids with autism.
Okay.
And then I guess Sly's son also was autistic at one point. So that
his
was,
actual, I think his actual
his
son
is in that scene.
Yes.
And so there's a connection between the robot manufacturer and Sylvester
is
Stallone.
Is that how that happened?
Yeah. And so I'm trying to find
all
the
right,
actual
see
information.
See if we can find out what the stories of that.
Interesting. I wonder if that is the case.
It's your birthday present.
Yes.
Then boy, it's a robot. You could play with it.
And they had Paulie. He had to work extra hard to appear dumber than Rocky.
I've kind of blocked that movie out altogether.
To me, the first one, masterpiece. The second one, good. Third one, okay, Clubber Lang. Fourth one, because it's so kitschy funny at the end.
Russians, Americans, it all.
Hell is he saying?
I bought my brother-in-law a robot. Before his birthday, he like he won the sports car. Yeah, you understand, you Russian bastards.
Oh my God.
I mean, he defeats communism. He outruns the KGB, if you recall.
You remember Mickey Dad?
Mickey died in the third one.
He made me sad.
Mickey died in the third one?
Yeah.
Apollo Creed dies in the fourth one.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
No release date yet for Rocky IV, the director's
cut. As you say in America, no sad, bro.
Yeah. But the film's 35th anniversary is November 27th, so it's possible that we could see it then.
You know where they filmed the Russian scenes in Rocky IV, right?
Was it Canada?
No, it was Wyoming. Actually, it might have been like Canada too, but Wyoming.
Yeah, he was running around the Grand Tetons.
Yeah.
In Grand Teton National Park. So it was.
I gotta get serious about this. I'm gonna run through the Siberia with a tiger on my back.
Those scenes are supposed to show, listen, he used all the chemicals and all the stuff in this. Using science, and Rocky's going back to the chopping wood. He even had a beard.
So Seiko, or Psycho, whatever the name of the robot was designed by International Robotics founder Robert Dornick. And as Trivia Happy explains, the story begins in the 80s when Dornick appeared on a talk show to promote his robot and discuss the work he'd done with autistic children. And Serge Stallone was autistic. So there was a link between that company, and that's how Sylvester got in, became aware of the robot in the
is
first place.
Is it Serge or Sage, Nick?
I don't know. It's,
yeah, I think it's Sage.
Well, I don't know because it's S-E-A-R-G-E. O-H.
Huh.
So maybe he was
Serge.
Maybe his nickname was Sage, but his full name was Sergio Stallone. So anyway, he was autistic, and that's how the robot got introduced to Sly.
You say it was. Did he pass away?
Serge?
Yeah. No, he's still alive.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought one of his sons passed away. Per,
oh, maybe my God. I got that information all this stuff. Well, we can get to the bottom of all this, all this legend of lore. You know, we're massive Stallone, but I think even he knows that sequence was intended to extract the importance of what was going on.
The robot, you mean?
Yeah.
He's
That's why he's taking it out of the movie. That was dumb.
People in Russia.
So we're confusing. There's two. He was the brother of Serge is I'm sorry. Let me start over. Serge is autistic. Sage is the guy you're referring to, Steve. Those are two different people. Sage passed away in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Any idea how he died? Or I don't remember that story. Death. He had not been heard from 4 days prior to his death. Empty prescription drug bottles were found at the scene, but after autopsy toxicology results, they determined that he died of coronary artery disease.
This is Stallone's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but we're talking about two different people.
Okay, so Serge is his brother?
Serge is his brother, and Serge is the one that is autistic. Serge is still alive.
I just assumed Frank was his only brother.
Serge is his child.
Yes.
Okay.
His children.
His brother Sage passed away. So these are Stallone's kids.
Sylvester's kids, Steve.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of I've never heard of more than just the one son. I know he has daughters now, but I didn't know that. I guess it's a lot I don't know about it.
That's sad news.
That's very sad.
All right. Something else.
Okay. Do you guys want to go in the Wayback Machine? Because we do have a video of that apparatus that I was talking about
You have video of the apparatus.
Yeah. Just so you can see what I'm talking about.
All right.
Yeah.
And bring it up on the. Yes. Okay. I have seen this.
So there's a gym. Okay. If you just tuned in, Casey's talking about this piece of gym equipment that seems like it could be a sex apparatus. Okay. I gotcha.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's essentially these things that you can hang stuff from to do exercises on, like aerial yoga or lifts or the things that have assistance. There's almost like a trapeze swing on it. Okay, yeah, you can have sex on that. Okay, yeah, exactly. All right, let me find out. All right, this is completely different than everything we've been talking about this morning, but people are going nuts for an Ohio worker's latest creation. He made a bar that caters to squirrels that live in his yard, and it's awesome. His name is Michael Dutko. He's a 35-year-old hobbyist, and he's been creating art and household items from wood most of his life. He chronicles it on his YouTube channel, which is called Duke Harmon Woodworking. And it's a twist on a squirrel feeder that he made. It's called the Nutty Bar, and it's attached to his backyard fence. And it looks like a real bar. It has a range of nuts on tap that the squirrel can access.
So the squirrels, when they're using it, do they look like they're sitting at the bar?
Now, that I haven't seen, whether or not they're sitting down, whether they're doing this or not. He said that he built it to help his neighbor.
My wife doesn't understand me.
With her bird watching happy. That's him talking to the bartender.
I don't know. She's making me nuts.
Oh,
this is awesome. We're looking at it right here.
We've seen these things that people have built to make it look like squirrels are sitting at picnic tables and eating and stuff like that. Yeah. It's similar to that, but this has all these different nuts of which the squirrel can choose from. And he said, the whole reason I started making this is because my neighbor watches birds with her daughter and told me about the squirrels they keep getting in the way. And I didn't even tell her what I was doing. I just built it and put it in the backyard. And she saw it and she was cracking up. Squirrels who find their way to the bar get to choose from seven different nuts named after beers. Cashew Dunkel, Peter Pilsner, Almond Ale, Walnut Stout, Sunflower Saison, Pecan Porter, and Pistachio Pale Ale.
It's really well done, craftsmanship, but I assume it has to be squirrel pandemonium with this thing open.
You would think so, right? If you ever put out any bird feeders at all,
they go nuts.
The squirrels take it over.
I like the anti-squirrel bird feeders.
The ones that spin around?
Yes.
Yeah,
and just
pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
The project, which measures about 25 inches wide. I'm having a hard time talking today.
We all are.
And 16 inches tall, took him 8 hours to design and build. After posting a video on YouTube showing the building process, Dutko says he was overwhelmed with comments and requests to purchase it. And immediately applied for a design patent and is now planning to launch a business to sell the Nutty Bar for about $200.
Absolutely. They set up the other ones too, Casey. You've seen them where it's on. It'll be at the top of the fence, but it looks like a little picnic table.
Yeah.
For the squirrels.
I love woodworking stuff, and I wish I was a craftsman like this. These guys, they're next door neighbors, and they're like great friends and drinking buddies. And did you see this?
The way they turn their fence into a bar for both of them?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And when you can do really quality level woodworking like that, you can do stuff. So Preston, there was the fence actually tilted over and created a bar between backyards.
Is it like on a spindle?
Like
or
on
something?
A pivot. It's yeah. Gotta be. Yeah.
That's great. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So they can flip it down and that way they can socially distance and hang out.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Brilliant idea.
I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more thing, and then that's all we have time for. And Steve, mainly I bring this up for you. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's a TikTok trend that involves cats and wet toothbrushes. Have you seen this?
I have not.
People claim that cats love the sensation of someone using a wet toothbrush on their cat. And apparently they love it because it supposedly reminds them of getting groomed by their mother's tongue.
I can see that.
And that it instantly makes the animals feel soothed and relaxed.
I've got to try that.
So search for...
I've been using my own tongue.
Search for cat toothbrush. And it brings up a bunch of the videos on TikTok, much of which seem to be showing cats looking very happy and relaxed while being groomed with a wet toothbrush.
It's funny, if you have anybody comes over to the house who's never been licked by a cat, like we have Hubert, our cat Hubert will immediately start trying to groom you, you know? And when they realize just how sandpaperish a cat's tongue is, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah. After a little while, you got to get them to stop if they keep going.
It hurts.
Yeah, it's a little bit rough in there. There's no words on experts on if this is what a cat might actually like. Or
do you brush your cats in the morning? Or you don't have cats
anymore? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I never did brush our cats in the morning.
My toothbrush. I'll have to do that now.
Right. Brush twice a day.
All nine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something to try out?
Yes, I'm going to have to try that.
If you guys want to.
With a toothbrush I don't use a lot.
Yeah, might be.
Or perhaps not at all.
All right. Anyhow, that's all the time we have because we have some guests coming up. So thank you for letting me clean out some stuff out of the junk drawer. When we return, we're going to have comedian Taylor Tomlinson on, and she has sold out Punchline Wednesday through Monday. Doesn't even have to give us a call because tickets are all sold out.
But how about that?
Call in anyway, so we'll talk to her in just a little bit, as well as David Zucker celebrating the 40th anniversary of the movie Airplane. Very cool. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Cage the Elephant.
Call me when you're
Larkin Poe. Rival Sons.
We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Yes, our guest is standing by, and she is going to be in town starting on Wednesday for sold-out shows. I lied a little while ago. I said all of her shows were sold out. All but one of her shows are sold out.
Well, there's good news there, then.
Yeah, so there's a Tuesday night show at Punchline, and that is on the 8th. Just to give you a heads up on that, it's punchlinephilly.com to get your tickets. But otherwise, she's on to talk about just what's going on and coming to Philadelphia. So please welcome Taylor Tomlinson to the show this morning. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you so much.
Of course.
For having me.
You've got a lot of fans here in Philadelphia with all those sold-out shows, and they're excited for you to be in town.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited to come. I mean, I'm excited to be here this morning. I love waking up early because I just text everybody who doesn't think I have my life together.
Yeah.
Like, you're like going to be like, ooh, she works out now first thing in the morning.
Do you go through that mental sort of back and forth when you, because we're up really early and I'm like, do I text this message so that I don't forget it? Or do I make a call and leave a message? Do you go through that? Because there is a protocol depending on everyone's schedules.
I mean, everyone I know is a comic, aka a trash person. So it's not great to text anyone at 6 a.m. for me in my life because no one's going to respond to it.
Right.
But it's going to make me look like I have my life together. So it's completely selfish.
Well,
because anytime somebody tells me they wake up at 5 a.m., I'm always like, oh, that's why you're hot.
Yeah.
Well, there is something to that because we, you know, obviously, so I'm up at 3:45, Preston's around the same time, and you forget how the rest of the world operates. And years ago, I did stand up, and it was completely the converse, that I would be coming home at the time I now wake up, and it's a bizarre juxtaposition.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I can't even imagine. Yeah, there are times where I do radio in the morning, and I'm like, I'd rather do 3 a.m. because I'll just stay up. That would just be the last thing I do.
we've definitely had people power on through and just come on in the morning. Like Bert Kreischer will do that when he knows he's going to be on with us, or other people will do that. But I wanted to ask you, you're out of the blue. I just happened to watch your Netflix special. I just knew a very little bit about you, and it seemed that you know, right at the beginning of, and I was telling Preston this, of the pandemic and stuff like that, when people are kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to have to hunker down and you know, see what's available. Your special was sitting right there, and it seems to have exploded for you. The reaction has been phenomenal. Did it blow you away how well the Netflix special did?
I mean, yeah, it was great. I mean, it's what you hope for. All my agents were like, this is a great time to have a special out. And I was like, you think I needed a global emergency to be successful? I don't know how I feel about that. But yeah, it's fun. Like obviously I've never put out a Netflix special, and you hear from all these people you would have never heard from normally. Like your middle school crush, your old boss, your parents, like all these people who normally wouldn't even reach out.
Anybody surprised that had no idea that comedy was your profession?
At this point, no. I mean, when I was younger, I started when I was like 16. So okay. When I was like 18, working in food service, I remember I tried to like get nights off for shows, and my manager's like, you do comedy? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, can't see it. And
can't see it. Well, there's wow. Somebody who's really on your back. I have to ask you, so you probably had situations where you would play places you weren't legal to go into as a patron, but could go in as an employee, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I used to do the Comedy Store down in San Diego. And before I was 21, I couldn't hang out inside. And so I would just stand outside with Matt, the door guy, who was essentially babysitting on top of his bouncing duties. And then they'd go, all right, you can go on right now. And I'd walk in, walk directly on stage, do my set and leave.
That is wild. So you started, and correct me if I'm wrong, you and your dad, or was it your dad that suggested when you're like 15 or 16 that you sign up for like a comedy course?
Yeah, we took a comedy class at a church, which just sounds made up.
It does.
That is my origin story.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything at that class? Did it help you out?
I did. I mean, you know, it was probably like most comedy classes where they go, just go buy Judy Carter's book and write down a list of things that make you mad and see what comes out. And so I just came back with like, didn't go to prom. That sucks.
You got to miss out on things. And there's the plus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, everyone else is like, my marriage is in trouble. And I'm like, well, I wish I had a corsage.
Listen, I was raised Catholic. I know you were raised Christian, and, you know, my mom taught CCD. My dad was a deacon. So, but I know that, you know, sort of growing up in that environment, that there were actually some pretty funny jokes that were religious in nature. And I don't know if you, especially early on, had used any of that kind of material.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I tried not to, because I wanted to be able to perform anywhere. Like, the one religious joke I had was when I was in high school. I was attempting to wait until marriage, if you know what I mean. And the only
attempting.
Joke I do. Yeah. And what's crazy is this joke worked really well in churches, and half the time they wouldn't let me tell it, because the joke was, you know, it's really hard for me to be abstinent because, like, when promiscuous friends of mine miss their time of the month, they think, oh, no, I'm pregnant. When I miss my time of the month, I'm like, oh, no, I'm carrying the Messiah.
It carries a lot more weight, doesn't it?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Well,
let me ask you. Let me ask you to that point, and so your special is Quarter Life Crisis, and we talked about the phenomenon of the quarter life crisis. Now, you're not a big drinker, don't drink at all, not drugging. So a lot of the stuff that you don't engage in, Was that a bit of a concern that you might not be able to connect with an audience that might be your contemporaries?
You know, it's crazy. Drunk people, not that hard to connect with. they're pretty friendly. They're pretty open at that point. You know, I mean, I've never, like, been a partier, and it's so funny because now I have friends who are getting boring. Like, they're, like, settling down and having kids and whatnot. And they, I thought they'd, like, get on my level and be like, we're boring too now. Let's all hang out and drink orange juice. And instead, they're just as condescending about settling down. They'll be like, I don't know how you stay out past 10 p.m. Your lifestyle's so unhealthy. And I'm like, I've seen you snort coke off a rusty bike rack.
It is kind of wild because all my life, and I've never been opposed to it, but I've never been drunk. I've never tried, you know, drugs. That's never been part of my deal. It's just never the thing. But it is funny that when I was doing what I was doing, or just in our general lifestyle, we go out to events or people are getting ripped up or whatever. That's okay. But it is weird to see a lot of those people eventually go around, as you're saying, and say, I don't know, I can't drink anymore. I can't do it anymore. And now they're like, and then they kind of look at you and go, now I'm just like you.
So, right, exactly. They're like, I'm lame too.
Exactly.
Oh, but it's wild because, listen, I was definitely a huge partier, but now, like, if I fall asleep at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, like, that is a badge of honor. The same way back when I was 21, if I stayed up till 6 o'clock drinking, you know, I kind of like, to me, it's the same type of badge of honor. It's like, oh my God, I fell asleep at 9 o'clock last night.
Like, yeah. Somewhere a switch is thrown. Somewhere along the way.
I think it's just a way that nature has intended it so that we can, you know, just, you know, fade off into the ether. You bring up a point in your Netflix special that I really liked about, how when you're involved with someone and you break up with them, you suddenly sort of have a quasi kinship with the ex that they had. Like you can sort of now find common ground with their other exes. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's more so when you start dating somebody new. I mean, I do this too. Like, whenever you start dating someone new, they're going to talk about their ex, and their ex was wrong, and their ex did this, and their ex did that. And a lot of times when I start dating a dude and they're like, yeah, my ex was crazy or whatever, and they elaborate, I just go, oh, totally. She sounds nuts. But in my head, I'm like, we would have been friends.
It's kind of true. And like you'd think, like after you break up, you almost want, you know, like, and it works, obviously, no matter what the situation is. You're like, maybe I should seek counsel with this person because they can, you know what I'm saying? They can reaffirm what you found out.
Oh, totally. You're like, we have been through the same war, and I need to talk to someone who knows what I've been through.
Right.
Oh, I feel that way after every breakup. I'm like, I really should reach out to her, I think.
You like, you need it like a dating consigliere, someone who can provide you the feedback that you need.
Totally.
Yeah. So with this taking off and, it's great what Punchline is able to do because they have this great facility that allows, you know, stand up. And as things are coming back online and you're off this hot Netflix special, what's your schedule looking like? Are things starting to fill in or is it still moving at a glacial pace?
I mean, here's the tough thing is like there are places where you can go and you can perform inside and, you know, in some places they're saying they're distancing and some places, you know, they say they are and then people get there and they're not. And
right.
Every time you're there, you're doing the show. So I haven't been wanting to mess with that. I'm trying to take this seriously. I wanted to do the Punchline because they're doing it outside. They're doing it distance. It feels safe to me. The shows are much smaller than they normally would have been inside. And I only want to do shows that I would be comfortable going to right now.
So right.
Those are the shows I've been doing, which is obviously way less shows than I would normally be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man, have I been getting enough sleep for the first time in my whole life.
I believe
there
it.
There you are.
I believe it.
There you are, going to bed at 9.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Performing outside is interesting. Like, I've never put on bug spray before shows before. But here we are.
At this show, I was reading face coverings are required at the event. I'm sure you won't have to wear one. But when you are wearing a mask, how's your mask game? Have you spent any money? Have you put any effort into something that makes a statement? Or what are you doing in the mask department?
Dude, I bought so many cool masks going like, I'm going to coordinate my outfits. This is going to be me now. And then I read something online that's like, actually, the medical ones, just with the blue fuzzy and the whatever, those ones are the best for preventing the virus. And those, like, don't match anything.
Yeah.
Those look responsible and they're disposable.
Right.
That's where we're at now. And I'm like, oh, I guess I can't wear the one with flames on it.
I can't wear my minion mask.
Yeah.
Well, did Whitney Cummings and a lot of people are doing this. They're sort of setting up these shows, and I think maybe you're part of the show. I'm not sure. But basically, you come in, everyone gets tested. It's sort of like a bubble of performers, and it allows, you know, more latitude with performing. Have you done any stuff like that? Where you all agree to, you know, do the test and do a little bit of a tour?
Oh, where I get super rich and I test everybody? No, I haven't done that yet. But yeah, I mean, obviously that's so cool that some people are doing that, and I think people who have been touring hopefully are getting tested regularly. But, you know, that's like a pretty personal question. It's so weird. There's so many ways that you have to get tested now in order to date someone responsibly.
You don't want the HIPAA rules to go out the window as you're violating all of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Taylor, your shows are almost completely sold out, and it's a bunch of shows. Do you attribute that to the bikini shot that you posted on Instagram asking for people to come to the show?
I mean, I hope so. I feel like I'm going to get there and everyone's going to be like, no, we came in spite of that.
Well, you described yourself, I think it was subjectively hot, which I would say is kind of the best kind of hot. Because, I mean, you know, the flawless, modely perfection kind of thing, I think is very off-putting. It's like,
it doesn't seem real.
It doesn't seem real.
Yep.
So
I love it when men do this. I love it when guys are like, I like that you're asymmetrical. I'm into it. I think it's cool. I love your soft arms. I'm like, okay, David, I don't believe you.
No, it is kind of true. It's like the impossibly gorgeous women who always say, I was a tomboy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you guys are being totally honest, and if, like, Giselle came up to you, you'd be like, too perfect.
Yeah, right.
All right, there might be some latitude there. You
Taylor,
might be right.
I got a question, because it kind of bugs me when I post things on Instagram, and people will zoom in on the photo and comment on the smallest little thing in the background or whatever. So I want to ask you what comments you got about that bikini picture, because there's one thing in this picture that totally stands out to me, I think, more than anything else.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I got the most. The weirdest comments about were just like, you look uncomfortable. Like, people were really concerned that I was sitting on rocks. They were like, are you okay? Do you need a lawn chair? Like, people were just like, what? Are you, is that, that seems uncomfortable, which I thought was actually very sweet. And then I have a big scab on my knee.
Yes, that's what, and you can't help it. You focus immediately on the scab.
Well, you address the scab in the comment, but, you know, sometimes people read the comments and sometimes they just focus on the picture, or sometimes both.
Right, exactly. No, I put in the caption. Here's the thing. If you're a comedian and you're posting a bikini shot, you have to make fun of yourself a little bit. Otherwise, everyone's going to not respect you. And so I like that I left it, because I was like, this proves I don't Facetune. Because anyone else would have gotten rid of this real easy. It's a tap on the screen. But you know what? This is me. I fell down while walking and texting. And this is my brand, all right?
Yes, absolutely. And it shows you're real.
It's
and
genuine.
We respect that. That's,
yes.
We and like our dinged up women.
And it's working. Tickets are selling. There are only some tickets available for the new show added on Tuesday. It's at 6:30, and you can get the tickets at Punchline.com. Philly.com. Taylor, we could talk to you for a long time. We have another guest who's set up and we need to move along. So we will see you when you get in town. Have a great time when you're in Philadelphia. And hopefully next time we talk, it'll be in person here in our studio, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Taylor Tomlinson, yeah! Guys, at Punchline. She's awesome. She's excellent. All right, we have our next guest ready to go. Very excited to talk to him.
Ugh.
We, just a few weeks ago, had a lengthy conversation about the movie Airplane because it was approaching the 40th anniversary of the film. And we kept going on and on, scene after scene after scene, our favorite moments in that movie.
It's one of those movies, as is a lot of this gentleman's work.
Yes.
Scenes can make people start adding their scenes and quoting lines, and before you know it, you're in a full-blown conversation.
So many lines from the movie Airplane, but I'd say the one that stands out more than all others probably is this.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Probably. So please welcome David Zucker
to
the show this morning. Hi, David. Good morning.
Hi. Good to talk to you. I was going to say good to see you, but it's not.
It's not.
Well, maybe you can.
No. Yeah, listen, David, we like I was saying in the setup, we had a lengthy discussion about Airplane, and 40 years, I can't believe it's come and gone. I remember clearly when I went to go see the movie in the theaters, I didn't know what I was getting into. I was a kid, my parents took me, and it was and I remember pointing out one of the great things about the movie and the setup, and I knew it was going to be awesome, was that there was a Warner Brothers cartoon, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, that ran right before the movie. I hadn't seen that. I thought they stopped doing that. Did you have a hand in that, or was it my local theater that did that?
Yeah, it must have been your local theater. We had nothing to do with
okay.
that.
Okay. I thought it was a nice touch they added, though.
I'm not proud of it either.
Not proud that you missed that one. I wanted to ask you, Dave, because there's so much legend and lore behind this movie, because it's the movie that really... how did it get made? The fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, you and the rest of the people involved with the movie, the creators, never really fans of comedy growing up. You like to make fun of movies, comedy movies, I should say, and that process of putting on a movie and making fun of it is what sort of generated what went into Airplane.
Yeah, we loved comedy, but, you know, we liked serious movies more. That's what we laughed at more. And you know, we would, you know, generally, you know, watch one of these 50s black and white movies, and we would dub in what we wanted. And that's, we thought those serious characters were funnier than the comedians of the day. So that's where the idea of Airplane came in. And one day we saw this old 1957 movie called Zero Hour.
Yes.
But it's Airplane is scene for scene, you know, the same plot, the same characters, only, you know, we just put our twist on it. And that turned out to be the idea, and casting it not with comedians but with these straight actors.
That's the essential thing that makes it work. And I from what I understand, it took you about 5 years to make the movie, and selling it on... Because you're telling the movie company, okay, so who's going to be in this? Who are the comedians that are going to be in this?
Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges. You know, that's
yeah.
That was not the greatest lead to the whole thing. But we, we just went from studio to studio, and that's why we made Kentucky Fried Movie, because we couldn't sell the Airplane script. And so we made, and it turned out to be a good sequence of events, because we didn't know how to direct, and we had to direct Airplane. So we did Kentucky Fried Movie. John Landis directed it.
It's great. I just watched it. Yeah.
Collaboration. And then we felt we were able to do it, and still Paramount didn't want us to direct it, and they shopped it to other directors. We kept saying, no, we have to direct this. And then the Directors Guild wouldn't let us have a three-man director credit, so my brother went down L.A. and had his name legally changed to Abrahams N. Zuckers. And the Directors Guild computer spat out a card saying Abrahams N. Zuckers. And when they found out about it, they were furious. But so they had to give in. We ended up getting the three-man credit.
That's great. Now, and as legend has it, I don't know if this is true, but Robert Stack, he had just completed 1941, which he was banking on the Steven Spielberg, his big budget comedy, which he was banking on being huge. Explain the story.
Well, he was in 1941. The story is he just, during the shooting on the set, he would just tell stories of, how he was on that movie and how it was going to be great. I think the studio offered him points in the movie, a big percentage, if he would, do it for, a certain amount. And he skipped that and just took the money up front, which I think probably cost him millions. But Robert Stack was a great guy, and he, I think they all loved being in movies. So when he actually saw it, he was so surprised. He said, "Never in my life have I been so wrong about any movie that I've been in."
So he wasn't sure. And then that night, obviously, the reaction's great, and he realizes, "Oh, this is the hit," because 1941 essentially was a bomb.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
1941 didn't do anything. And it was like, we later got to know John Belushi when we did Police Squad, because he was also shooting something at Paramount. We also did one of the guest deaths in the opening credits with Belushi. But he said, Spielberg is a genius, of course, at all his stuff, but comedy's a different thing. You can't just say, okay, I'm great at doing movies, now I'll just knock off a comedy. And so Spielberg said that in one scene, Spielberg told him, just go nuts. Just go nuts. And you can't, you have to, it's got to be in the script. And Airplane, as crazy as it is, it was very scripted. It was just exact. There was no ad-libbing. And, we knew exactly what, we wanted to get on screen. And we went for it, and we stuck to the script.
Just want to remind people that the reason David's calling is because Airplane is going to be played in theaters throughout September. It's currently available on Netflix. You mentioned Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges. The two other men of that ilk in the film were Peter Graves and Leslie Nielsen. And you altered Leslie's career path from there on out. He had been a straight actor doing mainly roles that were pretty serious, and it opened up this world, and he really took to it. Can you talk a little bit about Leslie?
Well, Leslie, all his movies, we had watched some of his movies. He wasn't even that known at the time. And he wasn't our first choice. He was like the third choice. I think Vincent Price turned it down, and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., all these, they were bigger names at the time. And then we thought, well, here's this guy who's the captain of the Poseidon. And I think mainly known for that line when he sees a big wave and he goes, "Oh my God!" And it was like all serious stuff. And we thought this guy would probably be hysterical as the role of the doctor. So, we met with him. We later found out that he told his agents he loved the script, and he told his agents, "Don't tell these guys, but I pay them to do this." And he took to it so well, and never winked. He got it. So
it's tonally perfect, and the fact, like, I knew him as the captain from the classic science fiction movie Forbidden Planet, and he was that guy, and to have these people again doing it as straight as possible, we talk about the sell to the movie company. Were you originally going to do it as a period piece in black and white?
We wanted to do period piece, black and white, and on a prop plane. And the studio didn't want us to. And finally, the three of us had to go in to have a meeting on a Friday in Michael Eisner's office. And Michael Eisner says it's got to be on a jet plane and in color. And we made the whole argument why it was better. It was like, so our concept was in doing this old movie like Zero Hour. And he said, "Well, you've really made some good points, and you may be right, and you may go on to make this movie in black and white and on a prop plane. It may turn out to be a big hit, but it won't be at the studio."
And there you go. And but the knowing nod, that you
each other. And he said, but don't give me your answer right now. Think about it over the weekend. Come back Monday. And we did, and we totally caved. And he was right. So he was absolutely right. We, you know, I think they envisioned it as a much bigger movie than the cult hit that we wanted to make. So and also Paramount added a lot of. They had us rewrite and do added all the flashbacks, which were great.
Well, what I love is that as you're seeing a jet plane moving, you're hearing a prop plane in a number of the scenes.
He had the last tap on Eisner. We put in the sound of a piston airplane.
I love it. David, I think in comedic cinematic history, the out of left field line that I think is one of the funniest ever was the two young kids that are acting like they're adults and they're having coffee, and she asks if she wants cream or sugar, and she says, no, I like it black. I take it black like my men. I mean, just
right, out. Yeah, we never get that done today.
No, you would not. But did you write that line?
Well, you know, one of us did. Either Jim or Jerry or I wrote it. So, and actually, we can't remember. We can never remember who wrote what. Even Don't Call Me Shirley or any of those things. We don't remember who wrote what line because, you know, we really learned that to make a really successful collaboration, you can't claim credit. We did it. And in fact, it worked that way. That's the way it works.
The gentlemen who are the Jive Talkers, they created their own dialogue?
Yeah, they wrote their own line. You know, all we could do as three, you know, white Jewish guys from the Midwest, all we could write was mofo, I think. That was it.
Mofo was it.
They hit the red.
Mofo was the extent of our, because we had just seen Shaft, and we loved the Shaft, but we couldn't understand what they were saying. So we thought, why don't we do subtitles? And that's how it happened. And so these guys came in, and they read for the part, but they prepared by, they actually looked up in a dictionary, you know, how to do this dialect. And they came in, you know, read it like that, and we, you know, we fell off our chairs, and we thought these were the guys, and so we cast them.
Well, it still holds up today, the 40th anniversary, so it's on Netflix, available now, and we'll be playing through theaters in theaters through September. It is an honor to speak to you, David. Thanks so much for coming on this morning.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, okay. You got it. David Zucker, guys. Yeah. And just to remind you, I mean, other titles that that were created through he and his brother and... were Top Secret.
Yes, which I love. We got to talk to him about that, too.
I know, but the focus was on, obviously, on the airplane. But, yeah, Police Squad and the Naked Gun movies.
Naked Gun.
Which was an offshoot of Police Squad, which Police Squad was a TV show,
it was
right?
A TV show and then became movies.
Yeah, that it became Naked Gun.
Yes.
After that.
Right.
So I just didn't watch.
In fact, it was called
the TV show
Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So.
And he also did the scary movies after the Wayans departed, the second one.
And Basketball.
Basketball was like.
I love Basketball. Movie. And it's, and now Basketball has sort of gotten that sort of cult status because you have the South Park guys, mm-hmm. Matt and Trey, involved with that as well. I think it's a funny movie.
I never did see Basketball.
It's all over the place, but it's a good kind of all over the place.
Yeah. I know you guys, Casey.
No. I've only seen pieces of it. I saw the one part where the chick sucks the chrome off of a trailer hitch.
Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. She's sitting there with a boat hitch.
That's right.
I feel like I should go back and watch it because I was definitely younger when I watched that, and a lot of those jokes probably went over my head.
Jenny McCarthy and Yasmin Bleeth were the babes that were in it. And it
was Robert Vaughn was the bad guy.
Wait, Robert, who's Robert Vaughn?
He was the bad guy in Superman 3, or he was Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should. I've only seen little snippets of it.
They create this sport, which is basically, you know, like the dumbest sport, mm-hmm. and it becomes a major sport.
Is it because they're... Were there contract disputes of the major sports or something like that?
Yeah. And so they step on in, and it's part of the deal is that you have to throw off somebody by trash talking them as you're going for it's a combination of obviously basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
But it's as dumb as it gets, but good dumb.
Okay. Hey, a heads up, and I'm excited about this. Starting on Thursday, it's the MMR A to Z.
Oh, I love this.
So it's coming up, and this is, normally it's called the Back to School A to Z.
Yes.
But it's the A to Z Homeschooled Edition,
mm-hmm.
as a lot of people are going to be going through that. So it's the annual alphabetical countdown of everything that rocks on MMR, and we don't know how long it goes. We know when it starts, but we don't know when it ends.
I think that as you're pretending to learn at home, put this on and listen instead. Right?
Yes. Stop learning.
Yes.
Start listening. I think that's what we need to do. No, but this is one of our favorite MMR music features of the whole year.
As everything was sort of up in the air, no one knew, you know, how is this going to play out? How are we going to go about this? I'm glad we're just going ahead and doing it because mm-hmm. you're right. Everyone loves this.
Yep. So just get yourself set for that. And I've said before, I don't know what the status is as of yet for posting online, because we've done that in the past. MMR has posted the songs once they're played.
Right.
And people love to point out the mistakes that are made.
Of course. In support.
Yeah, because sometimes somebody back here at the station will make a mistake and forget to, you know, skip a song by accident,
right, yeah.
or they play it out of order, and then it ends up going on the list the wrong way, and then there's always complaints about it, but we do the best we can. But that list is a great, especially if you like making playlists and things like that on your own at home, is a great reference to go through and find songs that might fit for whatever type of mood playlist you're trying to put together.
Yeah.
So if we do post that, we'll have to make you aware of how to get it. In fact, you know what? I should probably read ahead on my little info sheet.
Well, you know, you're looking to kill some time.
But it says here, it's presented by Bush Auto Group, fast, easy car buying online at bushautogroup.com, but it's going to start Thursday at noon, and then it's going to go till when it goes. It says here the event. Oh no, never mind. Has nothing to do with
it. Make sure not to read this part.
It says we'll auto publish at midnight tonight. Has nothing
Please
to do with you.
Don't read this part.
If you go to WMR.com, PrestonSteve.com, there is a link to the A to Z, and there's a link within that that shows you all the songs we played so far.
And for all of you auto-publishing fans out there.
Yes, you'll know that we do that at midnight.
Yes.
Exciting.
Hey,
we already did it.
Yes.
We had to fight. They wanted to take that feature away from the website. We
really?
We really use it.
Nice.
What feature?
The auto-publish.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly.
Okay. And they wanted to take it away?
They wanted to take it away.
Can't take away auto-publishing from our site.
That's right. Was that Rocky?
It was Rocky.
Yeah, okay.
May I ask a question? And
you
I ask this in all seriousness.
Certainly.
Is it nighttime outside?
Oh, my God.
Or is it our windows?
At every day this time, our, well, they're not our windows. It's another part of the building's windows, automatically tint, and it turns into nighttime.
It looks like nighttime.
Yeah, I hate it. I can't stand it.
I'm sleepy.
It's going to give me seasonal disorder.
Yes.
Before the season
And menstrual
starts.
Cramps.
And menstrual cramps.
You want a bit of good news or interesting news?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's several word of the day sites out there. Merriam-Webster does one, and there's a site called Word Genius that does one as well, wordgenius.com. And today, their word of the day is gadzooks.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. And there's a little chart on here that talks about its popularity over time. And I'm guessing, because there's a little bit of a spike right at turn of the century.
Yes.
That it started to go back up. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with us, and I can't imagine that it doesn't.
I think history will eventually show the staggering power of the show.
Well, it was very popular in the
1800s. Influence the course of language.
Yeah, and then it dipped in over the 1875s, as you guys probably remember. And
yeah.
And then it spiked in the 1900s, and now it's back again.
Yeah, it's swinging up. It's
Lincoln
swinging
was
upwards.
Going to include it in the Gettysburg Address, but right. opted not to.
By the way,
he went with kerfuffle.
I'll give you the definition. It's a part of speech. It's an exclamation. Its origin is English and from the late 17th century. The definition is an exclamation of surprise or annoyance, and using it in a sentence. There's a couple of examples here.
Please.
Gadzooks! This coffee is hot. Or, I was just walking down the street and gadzooks, it started pouring. Well, there you go. Your explanation.
Didn't we find that the derivation of gadzooks goes back to God's hooks?
God's hooks.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I got an email from Matt Danahill over the weekend, and I guess we were talking recently about the origins of gadzooks on our show, and he has the audio. October 18th, 2005,
Steve, we talked about this many times, but a story about Ted Kennedy, not John Kennedy, but Ted, attempting to rescue a stranded fisherman. Then you made a Gadzooks joke, and it kind of...
So it was here.
No, it started before that.
Nope. Yeah. No, it did not.
It did not.
No, it did. It started because of JFK and a watch that he was given.
Let me finish.
Okay.
It did not. It started here in 2005, at October 18th, and then the very next day... There was a story about a watch formerly owned by John Kennedy, and that was October 19th, 2005. And so Steve brought it back, and then we laughed about it, and then somebody posted a sign, a Gadzooks in a school, and it was a bubble, a word bubble coming out of JFK's mouth. And so it started with the Ted Kennedy story. The next day evolved into a John Kennedy story, and the rest is history.
I was almost absolutely certain that that took place at
Y100. I know. And yeah. It's funny
I'll tell
how
you
we
why
those
the
things.
Correlation was Gadzooks ice cream began here.
But that didn't happen right away.
It happened in fairly close chronological proximity.
It's funny how we remember things. People are terrible eyewitnesses.
I thought I was a woman this morning.
Well, no. Listen, Preston... I remember things incorrectly all the time, and you were adamant in the fact that it started at Y100, and you were wrong. But if you were on trial and somebody had asked you to testify under oath,
I'd swear
you would have passed the lie detector test.
Swear
absolutely. Huh. You remembered it incorrectly.
Well, you reported there was what our belief is of our knowledge base of our own history.
Right.
What is the percentage that's incorrect? Like 40%?
Yeah, we're wrong all the time, myself included. And so, but this one, the Gadzooks started at MMR, and it was in 2005.
Wow.
And that's according to who?
A listener named Matt Denahill, and he sent me the audio, and I listened to it over the weekend.
Okay, so we have the audio, but how do we know that timestamp is? Did he mention MMR in that audio?
Yeah.
We do?
Marissa's pointing. She's got two fingers up. Like she's.
Well, I can confirm because I was here for it. And okay. I was not at Y100. So, Casey, if you search Gadzooks in Voxborough, it's in there. It was a promo with the Marilyn Monroe. But I did not know the day before the Ted Kennedy story.
I remember the story was predicated on that watch and that Marilyn Monroe. And that's when I just blurted out the Gadzooks. And I remember being in our studio over here before this studio was built. You guys were saying it was part of Y100.
I thought it was, but I guess we were incorrect.
Listen, we all hate being wrong, but on this So it's fine. It happens. But it happened in MMR, and it happened in
I like kittens.
October of 2005.
That's not true.
What?
You don't like kittens. that is a lie.
See, that's something I misremembered about myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always thought I always thought I liked kittens.
I told you that for years I ate bologna thinking it was liverwurst. That's how stupid I am. And then I'm like, I've been eating the wrong thing.
I don't, it's not under Gadzooks. We'll have to...
You want me to send the? I'll send the audio over to Marissa right now. Right. It's this guy that Matt that sent it to us.
Thank you, Matt.
Do we have time to kill while we wait?
We
for
do
that,
not have time
break?
To kill.
Okay, we'll break.
Do it on the way back.
We'll come back in a moment. Actually, we have another guest who's going to be talking to us. Wait, did we miss that already?
No, we're going to call him.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, we're late, but yeah, we're going to.
The
call him.
Suck it. Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is going to be taking a virtual approach this year.
All right.
So we have Greg Steinbach, who is helping out with this event with Laurel House, is going to give us some information on that and what you need to know. So that and the Bizarre File are coming up, so make sure you stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Before we get to the Bizarre File, real quick, wanted to give a nice plug to a charity event that we've been involved with for a long time. It is called the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event.
Yes.
Steve, you come out and put on the shoes. Nick, you do the same thing.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fun.
And it's for our friends at the Laurel House. And this is for people who are victims of domestic violence. And that's men and women, more women than men. But absolutely, I personally know a man who was a victim and got much needed help from Laurel House.
We heard one of these gentlemen speak at, I think it was the last event.
That's correct.
And it was sobering.
That's correct. He's a friend of mine. And so we wanted to welcome someone on who can give us some ideas what the virtual event is going to look like. So he is a member of the committee and makes the coolest videos promoting this event. Please welcome Glenn Steinbach, who is on this morning. Yo, Glenn, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Preston. It's Greg.
Oh, Greg, did I say Glenn? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dude,
no
Jesus.
Worries.
Where's Glenn?
Yeah, can you please? We'll hold. If you can put Glenn. Greg, sorry about that. Greg, you've how many years have you walked in the event?
This will be my fifth year.
Okay, so you're a veteran at this. You do these training montage videos that involve your family that are absolutely fantastic. And listen, the training that you do is legit, because if you've never walked in heels before, it's a bit of a chore.
It's true. It's absolutely true. That's why I bought my own pair of shoes for this event, because I figured I think I can find a happy medium. So I didn't want, you know, but it is. So how does one conduct the virtual walk, Greg?
So this year we got to be a little creative, Preston. You know, normally we meet up and we all gather, and you guys come out in force. You're a great MC for us. But I think what we're going to do this year, September 12th is the date, and we're asking our teams to still do their walk, but do it in their own creative way. So, for example, my team is the Gorgeous Gams. We're going to gather in my neighborhood. We're going to walk socially distanced, and we'll wear our masks, but we're still going to do the walk to make it official. But we'd ask that, you know, whatever you can do to show your support for Laurel House and for the walk, do it in your own way. So maybe put the high heels on and cut your grass, fix your car, watch hopefully the Flyers continuing to play in the playoffs, something like that, and then post it on social media and just share that and help raise awareness for, you know, a really important cause.
Well, right now, and we know this is a fact, that reports of domestic abuse have skyrocketed since lockdown was in place and things are opening up a little bit more. But it's, you know, I've seen so much posts. I've seen so many articles written about, you know, what was a bad situation before. And then when you were forced to be in close proximity to your abuser with very little latitude, it just made things that much worse. And it makes you appreciate what Laurel House does. And why, you know, Preston was so moved by what you guys to get this, because I cannot think of who can imagine a worse scenario that, you know, you feel you have no recourse, and that's what you guys provide.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve, you're spot on. I mean, in I think it was March and April alone, like in the thick of COVID, it was a perfect storm. I mean, Montgomery County alone, and that's where Laurel House is, I think reported incidents were up 10%. So that's just reported incidents. So, you know, it's really a tough time if you're in a tough situation. So just for folks to know that Laurel House and places like it are out there.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not alone. And we need them more now than ever.
Yeah. So. And it's important to get the word out to people who don't know about places like Laurel House that exist, and get the word to essentially who maybe people who are victims in their own home, and that there are resources you can reach out to, and there are safe havens that you can get to, Laurel House being one of them. So the more that we can get the message out to those particular people, or maybe someone who knows of someone who's in that particular situation and share with them what's going on. So that's the point of doing this, because I can't even imagine being a prisoner in your own home, how that must feel. But there are ways out. There are ways to move on with your life. So, Greg, if people want to sign up, and by the way, there's a Team WMMR, and I encourage you to join in any way, shape, or form, but join our team if you can. How would you recommend that people get signed up, Greg?
Yeah, go to Laurel House's website. It's laurel-house.org, and go to the events tab, and you can sign up there. You can join a team, join MMR's team. You can join my team. You can create your own team. Walk as an individual, and then once you register, we'll send an email out. The walk is on the 12th with how you can pick up your shoes at Laurel House if you want to do that. You could get your own if you want as well. But that's really it. And, you know, the walk is just really a great, it's a fun, lighthearted way to really raise awareness about, you know, this topic. So I encourage everyone to do it.
And so far, Team MMR is killing it with one member.
Oh, one member. Add to that.
Yeah.
I mean, what we've seen, it always comes together in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And you guys always come on in force. So I know it's going to happen.
Do you know what this is going to allow, too, Preston? The virtual aspect of this is going to allow... I'll do it by myself, and I'll just wear a full dress and makeup.
Yeah,
too.
You can do that. Yeah. You can.
So you've been sort of chomping at the bit.
If you want to go all the way.
Yeah, and where Stephanie does the walk.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Or if you haven't done it because the shoe thing seems a little too daunting to you, this is a way to do it, and you can cheat a little bit.
Yes.
This is a good way to start. And then next spring, hopefully, we'll be back in force, and, you know. Do it all the way.
All right. So real easy. Go to the website. In fact, it's linked on PrestonandSteve.com, but you can go to laurel.laurel-house.org and you'll find the walk a mile in her shoes. But and then you can sign up for what team you like. Sign up for Team WMMR, or is it Gorgeous Gams?
The Gorgeous Gams.
The Gorgeous Gams. Excellent. All right, yep. Greg. Well, listen, I will be there for the virtual version of it online, and you know, we just want to send people in this direction to remind them that these issues are still there, and more so than ever.
Yeah,
and that we need the help. So it's
yeah.
Hey, all these charity events don't look like what they normally look like this year. That doesn't mean you can't be a part of it. So,
yeah,
that's right.
We want to encourage it. All right. Well, listen, Greg.
Yeah, and listen, you guys. Thank you so much. You really always come out and support. We really appreciate your voice and your platform. It means a lot to us.
We're happy to do it.
And one quick thing.
Yeah.
Today is my mom's birthday. So, Mom, happy birthday. Love you. Thanks for raising us right.
Aww. I'm sorry we can't allow those.
Yeah, we have to jump out of it. No. Greg, you're the best. Thanks, man. We'll see you at the event, right. Okay?
Thanks, guys. Take
Greg
care.
Staunbach, and always be glad to me. Walk a Mile 2020.
Glenn's a great guy.
Virtually, I've never talked to Glenn. Where the hell did I get Glenn? I don't know. Let's do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll get to some stories. I love the way, the lead line in this story sets it all up. A one-armed schizophrenic roller skater allegedly stabbed three bystanders during a psychotic rampage on wheels in the UK in which he thought his family was going to be killed by aliens.
When will this end?
Do I need to expand
no.
on this story at all, right? Well, I will anyway. Okay. Benjamin Bridgman is on trial on 8 charges. He was brandishing a large kitchen knife and an expression that was from a horror film. Bridgman, who was born without an arm, is accused of unleashing the terrifying attack.
So wait a second. There were no attacking aliens?
No. Apparently that was all just a ruse. The defendant had stopped using marijuana for social anxiety a week before the wild incident, telling a psychiatrist the day before the attack he believed that he was going to be taken away and sacrificed.
He picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Yes, to reference Airplane. I love it. Three men were injured in the rampage. Prosecutor said that Bridgman skated up and stabbed one of the men in the back before slashing another one in the head. Several people tried to stop the assault, including Aaron Smith, who jumped out of his car and used a road sign as a shield. He said he chased Bridgman around some vehicles and saw him get knocked to the ground before jumping back up and fleeing.
Did this man have any identifying features?
He said that when
he was a one-armed skater.
When I looked into his eyes, it was like a horror film. It was clear to me that he was intending to harm people. And police finally caught up with Bridgman. They tasered him, and they took him away, and he's facing 8 separate counts. Well, her doctors were puzzled over a series of strange infections she developed as she healed from back surgery, but a Salt Lake City woman, said that she didn't link the medical issues to her longtime roommate until the FBI showed up at her door last year. She said they had to show me evidence before I would fully believe that she had done it. Rachel, who asked to have her last name be withheld, was telling her story. Said her former roommate, Janie Lynn Ridd, was sentenced this week on at least 1 and up to 20 years in the Utah State Prison System. Ridd pleaded guilty to buying bacteria that causes staph infections on the dark net to use on Rachel.
Oh, you gotta love that dark net.
Police said the relationship started out strong, Rachel taking out a $500,000 life insurance policy and naming Ridd, who helped care for her, as the beneficiary.
What a demon.
But it soured about 3 years ago, decades after they first began living together. Police said Ridd would knock Rachel out with sedatives so she could inject harmful doses of insulin or even E. coli into Rachel's system. Rachel believes that Ridd started with Xanax, but would eventually use more powerful medications like ketamine to render her unconscious.
E. coli!
While she slept, Rachel said her roommate would then inject the chemicals. Federal investigators intercepted a shipment of vancomycin. I'm going to mess up this name, okay?
All right, go for it.
It's vancomycin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, also known as Versa, that Ridd had purchased off the dark web. The bacteria can cause serious skin infections, pneumonia, or even death, especially in an immunocompromised person like Rachel. But the darknet vendor was actually an undercover FBI agent working in another state.
Uh-huh.
Prosecutors said Ridd claimed to be a biology teacher at a college preparatory school and needed the cultures for a science experiment, but they believe the bacteria was meant for Rachel. She said she watched me suffer, and she doubled down and did it worse. Instead of one injection of E. coli where I'd scream and writhe in pain, she did three when that didn't kill me. Rachel said Ridd was her only friend for a long time and even took care of her son and helped her get better after a series of surgeries on her spine. But 3 years ago, they began fighting constantly. Ridd appeared resentful when others would ask if they were a romantic couple, and Rachel said no. Rachel, even so, Ridd remained adamant remained adamant Rachel take her medications for her back problems, even if Rachel didn't feel she needed them. But the injections nearly cost Rachel her life.
Uh-huh.
She is now on the road to recovery and has felt much better since Ridd's arrest. A judge ordered Ridd to serve consecutive sentences of at least 1 and up to 15 years for attempted possession or use of weapon of mass destruction.
How does that get just 1 year?
Yeah, attempted aggravated abuse of a vulnerable adult. Messed up, man. Messed up. Well, a polar bear attacked a camping site in Norway's remote Svalbard Islands, killing a 38-year-old Dutchman before being shot and killed by onlookers. Johan Jacobus Kutel was in his tent when it was attacked by the bear, and it killed him. He was an employee of the camping site where the attack occurred. Kutel was rushed to the hospital where he was declared dead. The attack occurred about 4 a.m.,
for a polar bear, that's a hot pocket.
No one else injured, but 6 people, 3 Germans, 1 Italian, 1 Norwegian, 1 Finn, were hospitalized for shock. The polar bear was found dead in a parking lot by a nearby airport after being shot by onlookers.
They're beautiful, but they are death machines.
Oh, incredibly, yeah. And I tell you what, that's all we have time for right now in the Bizarre File, but some pretty good stories here. All right. We'll take a break. When we return, we're going to test your knowledge. We'll do a lesson question from today. We have trash, we have music news, and some other stuff. So stay there because we'll be right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We can get the lesson question out there and give away a digital download of The Flash, the complete 6th season. And the question that we have for you this morning is, Tony Bennett's favorite new mutant can shoot poop from where? 215-263-WMMR. It's funny, I'm giving away a DC character's prize for a Marvel character question. Tony Bennett's favorite new mutant can shoot poop from where? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, Brad Pitt was seen in the south of France taking his German model girlfriend Nicole Poltorowski to the chateau where he married Angelina Jolie. Pitt was seen pointing Nicole to the exact spot where the wedding arch stood and then directing her to take a dump.
Oh.
Josh Groban has been granted a restraining order against an obsessive fan named Shauna Marie. Groban is reportedly ecstatic over the decision, especially because he'll now be able to focus on his other fan. And finally, Caitlyn Jenner is vehemently denying a report in the National Enquirer, claiming she's been in a deep depression and never leaves the house. Caitlyn says it's a complete lie, noting that she loves to go hiking and camping and bear strangling. That's your Hollywood Trash.
Alrighty, let's see if we can find somebody who knows the answer to today's lesson question. Tony Bennett's favorite new mutant can shoot poop from where? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, President Merlin and Steve.
PMS. Yo, all right, Ryan, where can the new mutant shoot poop from?
His eyes.
His eyes.
Yeah. So cool.
Hang on, Ryan. We're going to give you a digital download of The Flash, the complete sixth season after a fast and furious year. Team Flash anticipated things to slow down, but in season six, the team contends with an all-new villain called Bloodwork. And you can own it now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
All right, we're going to start with this story, and I believe we have some audio of this. Dave Grohl has finally accepted 10-year-old Nandi Bushell's challenge to a drum-off. So if you don't know who Nandi is, she's this girl who's only 10 years old. I've been following her on Instagram for a while.
She's great.
She's a really good drummer. She does drum covers of songs. And what got the ball rolling for her is how animated and excited she gets when she plays. She screams, she throws the sticks in the air.
Big, wide expressions on her face.
A lot of fun. So she challenged, and she's already had a few other people contact her, like Tom Morello, and she actually got to play with Lenny Kravitz. But now she's throwing these challenges out there, which these musicians are going to answer because she's got a gazillion followers, and she's really cute. But Dave responded to her challenge. And on August 17th, she had issued the drum battle in a YouTube video where she covered Everlong from Foo Fighters. And on Saturday, Grohl tweeted, "Challenge accepted. Haven't played these songs in a long time. Thanks for the inspiration." He added, "Your move" in the five-minute clip. Dave shares that he's seen all of her videos. He said, "You're an incredible drummer, and I'm really flattered that you've picked some of my songs to do for your videos, and you've done them all perfectly. So today I am giving you something that you may not have heard before. It's a song called Dead End Friends from the band called Them Crooked Vultures. This is my response to your challenge, so now the ball is in your court." So he wants her to play that song. And he was playing Everlong in the video, and he said he hadn't played it since they recorded in the studio.
Yeah.
That Taylor Hawkins is the took player, it over after that. I think we have a clip of
we have her playing.
Nandi.
Yeah.
Here we go. Do we have her talking, or is it okay? Checkmate. She's adorable. She not only plays drums, she plays all instruments. There are sometimes where she accompanies herself via video on bass, guitar, and keyboard as well. She's one of those.
Pretty amazing.
One of those people. She's going to go places. So she had responded, "This is unreal. I'm going to checkmate this one too." So,
do you want his response or no?
Sure. Here we go. This is him playing Everlong. By the way, her audio is way better than his.
It is, yeah.
I haven't played that song since the day I recorded it in 1997. Our drummer Taylor Hawkins plays that song Everlong for us every night. But Nandi, I've gotten at least 100 texts saying, "This girl is challenging you to a drum off. What are you going to do?" So today, I'm going to give you something you may not have heard before. This is a song called Dead End Friends from a band called Them Crooked Vultures. This is my response to your challenge. So now the ball is in your court.
And then he plays some of it before. So she's going to have to do a follow-up on that.
I love it.
That's a lot of fun.
He was playing on his daughter's drum kit, by
the
way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Smashing Pumpkins have just released two new tracks, Cry, or maybe it's not Cry, it's C-Y-R, Seer, Kerr,
huh?
Kier,
K-Kayak,
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 and The Color of Love, and color is spelled C-O-L-O-U-R, color.
That's the British way.
It is.
It's so funny.
Songs are slated for release. Well, the band's upcoming studio set, which will mark the band's first since 2018, Shiny and Oh So Bright. And let's see, there has been no title or release date announced for the album. Billy,
that's about right.
Billy Corgan said in a statement, "Scare,
yeah,
is dystopic folly, one soul against the world sort of stuff.
That's a good word.
Set against a backdrop of shifting loyalties and sped up time.
Yeah, of course.
To me, it stands as both hopeful and dismissive of what is and isn't possible with faith. Now, there you go. Deep stuff.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. Jack Osborne blasted the Daily Mail for pictures they published of his dad, Ozzy. On Saturday, the tabloid shared photos of the 71-year-old Black Sabbath frontman that they saw, that they so show, they say, that they say showed him as being nearly unrecognizable after allowing his signature raven locks to go gray. Jack had hit up Facebook saying, "Dear Bull-S tabloid journalist, in case you haven't noticed, it's not really recommended for people with Parkinson's to go get their hair dyed during an effing global pandemic. Just because my father's hair isn't its normal color at the moment doesn't mean S. He's 71, recovering from severe spine surgery. Moreover, he's on vacation. It's amazing that he can have a 50-year career selling millions of albums, and all that UA holes want to talk about are his hair roots. Have some respect and decency. Oh, wait, I forgot your kind lost that long ago. It's time you were held just as accountable for your actions as the rest of us. Shame on you all."
I would love to, you know, there's probably audio out there. And then listen, it's just sort of nature of the business. But his mother is like a, you know, like a talk show sort of host. And they sit around the...
Oh, ripping on people?
They rip on people. I'm sure.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yep. Yes.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's very kayak.
Kayak. I was very happy to see this morning. Michael Stipe, because I love R.E.M. Michael Stipe revealed that he and R.E.M. are plotting some type of 40th anniversary event commemorating the 1980 formation of the band. Stipe spoke about the prospects of celebrating the band, which it did a day back in 2011. And they told Uncut, "I'm sure we're doing something, but honestly, I don't know what. I certainly want to mark it. I was with Patti Smith when she went back to Electric Ladyland Studios and did a live in the studio version of Horses 40 years later. And I opened for her at the Beacon Theater on the actual 40th anniversary of the release of Horses. You know what that record meant to me. So I saw how to do it properly. And I'm sure that we're going to respond." When asked if he missed being part of rock's cultural center these days, Stipe, who's quietly been releasing tracks online, said, "No," he said, "I had my moment, and I think I did pretty well with it. I'm really happy to do what I'm doing right now, and I wouldn't try to compare it or contrast who I am now with what I'm doing now, musically or otherwise, with who I was as a 35-year-old. I happen to be on a very tall world stage at that point, and now I'm not in that position. Others are, and good for them."
Has he trimmed his old man beard?
You know what? I've not seen anything, Nick.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Steve. He has a YouTube channel, which is just Michael Stipe, and I guess, Preston, you referenced...
he eats Tide Pods on that, right?
Yeah, that's mostly what it's about.
Yeah.
It's Tide Pod Tuesdays. But he references... Preston referenced something, and then I got distracted. Michael releases his music via YouTube. And that's where you can go to see that. And okay, he does not have the beard. End of sentence.
He actually has a pretty... He understands what the band was. He always says, "Look, we were just we were a pop band. We had a moment, and it was great. And it's over." He's not trying to suck the life out of it or anything like that. So
being able to put it in that context will keep him sane.
I respect that.
And you move on.
Yep.
What you do.
And then finally, a new species of snake has been named after Metallica vocalist James Hetfield. A team of scientists discovered the new species of African bush viper on Bioko Island in Equatorial Guinea.
Bioko?
No, Bioko.
Oh.
The Arthuris Hetfieldi is defined by a triangular shaped head and strongly keeled scales, which gives them a dragon-like appearance.
Can't we get one snake named after us?
Researchers told Metal Hammer, "We think that a mysterious, venomous, and cool-looking snake who lives in the base of a volcano lost in the middle of the tropical forest is very relatable to heavy metal. Naming a new species after someone as James brings more attention to the much-needed biodiversity studies and field surveys."
There are new species discovered all the time. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, some go extinct, and new ones are discovered.
Yeah. This thing's really cool-looking, too. It does have cool. these pointy-looking scales on its head. Wow. All right, and there you go. That's it. That's what do you want from me?
Yeah, come on.
That's it in music news.
Kayak.
I don't know what you want from me. Santa's got to go. All right, we'll take a break.
Annabelle.
We'll come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize to tell you what that's about. And Pierre Robert, stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
Monday, Preston Steve Show. Program coming to a close here in just a moment or so. But we've had a few people say thank you to the course of the morning. And I would like to thank comedian Taylor Tomlinson for being on the show this morning. Very nice, very funny. Performing at Punchline Wednesday through Tuesday, actually. Wednesday through Monday, sold out.
That's
the shows each day.
Pretty wild.
And then she has a Tuesday show, of which there are some tickets that are available, and you can go to punchlinephilly.com to get those. So it's nice to have her on. And David Zucker, one of the Zucker brothers, created the Airplane franchise, the Naked Gun franchise.
Top Secret, Scary Movie,
all that stuff. He was great, mainly just talking about Airplane because it's the 40th anniversary, and that movie is actually going to be playing in theaters throughout September and available to watch currently on Netflix. And it's goofy, awesome, fun. So if you have never seen it, then it's worth checking out. And also thank you to Greg Stanbach. I called him Glenn.
Yes.
Who is from the Laurel House and the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event that we do every year in support and have Team WMMR. Is going virtual like many things. Yes, even walks going virtual.
You have to.
Yeah. So September 12th is when that is. Sign up for Team WMMR. It only costs you $35, and you can walk or not. We would love for it if you would and post a video. But just to contribute to help out because the issue of domestic violence is greater than ever right now with quarantine and limited travel. So please help out. And you can go to event.laurel-house.org, or you can just go to WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com, and you should see a link. Right there, that'll take you to Team WMMR and sign up. We would appreciate the help if you would, please. Pierre Robert is back, fresh as a daisy from the weekend.
I am a daisy.
You are. How you doing, man?
Fine.
Wonderful. Excellent. You're kind of staring off into the distance.
No, I'm thinking what a daisy would be thinking right now.
Mm. Yeah. What would a daisy be thinking? Yeah, they don't think.
Daisy would be thinking, I need water. Mm. And love.
Did you enjoy some of that fine weather we had yesterday?
Oh. I did. I had a few friends over and went into the cement pond.
You did? Oh, you opened up the pool?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You like never use that pool.
Well, I used to use it a lot. And then last summer.
Then you put water in it.
Well, I'm a skateboard champion. And so I used it for that mostly. But then I didn't open it last summer. And then it looked like it didn't look pretty when we opened it this year.
Right.
And then, but now it's pretty. And so we went a water.
Good. I have a pool privilege. I try to go in every day, even if it's for 10 minutes.
That's good.
At tops. Just take a quick dip. It's there. I always feel happy after I did it. So
that's good.
I make it a point to go do it.
Good.
Cool. I'm glad you used yours.
Thank you.
Ready for the letter?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you by the letter...
A, as in assault.
All right. And we have a ticket for you and three friends to see Smith & Myers presented by MMR. It's Thursday. Part of the live-in drive-in concert series, Citizens Bank parking lot, and each ticket is good for one car, maximum four people per car. You can enjoy the show from the comfort of your own vehicle. Some tickets still remain. You can see the full schedule, complete guidelines, and Marissa's five tips for attending the drive-in shows at WMMR.com. And keep in mind, we give that away on Thursday. We're taking the day off on Friday. You give us an even lengthier holiday weekend, which is perfect because the show is that night.
Yes.
Thursday. So we'll give it away then, which is very, very cool.
Hosted by Brent and myself.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Wonderful. What's on the show today, man?
We will have Workforce Box of Metallica, Rise Against, haven't played demo in a while. I love that band. And Led Zeppelin.
Enjoy, enjoy. All right, I want to go through our sponsors and thank them very much. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you today by Wilmington University and by Meineke doing car care right. Aha, tomorrow on the show, Steve Gutenberg.
Steve Gutenberg, Police Academy.
Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men Cocoon. And a Baby. Diner.
Cocoon, yeah.
Cocoon.
He has that hot sex scene with the alien in the swimming pool, speaking to cement ponds.
Right, that's right. So we'll spend time with Steve Gutenberg, and I'm sure we'll have a few other things that we will dive into. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We shall see you tomorrow, my friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Anyone who doesn't eat bacon with their fingers, they can't possibly be good in bed. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Next message.
Hi. Yes, I'm still waiting on hold to place my order for my Kenny 90. I need exactly 93.3. Woo!
Next message.
I'm the god of hellfire, and I want Hot Pockets.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.